Hi, it's Todd. How are you? Andy Kindler's our guest today. This Monday, great episode, a special drop, Jimmy Pardo. Then we go back to our normal one show a week. But Jimmy Pardo this Monday was fun. This week is Andy Kindler. We do about an hour before he gets there, me and Daniel. And the crew, as I like to say, Chris, Katie, and Andrew. And then Andy Kindler strolls in, so it's fun. Hey, and during the show, I tell you to tweet Audible and say, hey, sponsor Todd's show. It helps. Those tweets can, you know, they're good. Also in the show, I tell you to tweet HGTV, but tweet HGTV DIY. I'm telling you to do it. I'm actually asking you as a favor. Tweet HGTV DIY, any of those home shows. I'm trying to get pitching a show over there. So that helps when you tweet. Say, call Todd Glass. He's mentioning you on every show he does. Call him. Concentrate on HGTV. All right, come on here. You know what to do. Help me out. All right, enjoy the show. It's different. It was fun. It was different. Here it is. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
A very funny guy, Todd Glass.
Todd, calling again about doing your podcast.
The entertainer's entertainer, Todd Glass, everyone.
Todd. Hey, it's Zach.
We're back.
Man, I really want to come on the podcast. I've got stuff to promote.
Come on.
Central presents
Daniel, move away from the mic.
Todd Glass. Ryan Regan. Again.
Seriously. Turn his mic off.
If you don't want me to do the podcast.
Stop.
Thank you.
I don't know. Let me know that. Do you want me to beg? Is that the way you work?
Having a TV show is like too much. Comedian friends pitch you an idea. No matter how absurd, you can immediately greenlight.
Don't ever.
My glasses on the radio.
From the beautiful Las Vegas Strip, high atop Black Horse Motors, it's the Todd Glass Show.
Oh my God, we're back, and Daniel. Coughing through the whole open. I did not like that opening. You know, you would think it's a joke at this point. But, oh my, I thought you were going to have did you turn his mic off eventually?
No.
That was a very, did you really not?
No.
I have to have
was
a safe
I
word.
Supposed
yeah,
to?
Yeah, and I thought you
oh,
knew.
Because okay.
We always say turn
no,
the
I
mics off.
That was a joke.
We always say turn the mics off. I don't know if I
they
should.
Have like
who
a,
knew
you
you'd have
like
a safe word for comedy before you did for sex?
Yeah, right. How do you know?
Oh, that's dry down.
My safe word for sex, like, is I say, and no, really punch me in the head now.
That's a lot. That's a whole phrase. You have a safe phrase.
Yeah, and then I, that's, I thought that was funny.
Well, it can be like the to George Carlin thing.
Yeah, I can do it. We'll come up with something.
You can just say to George Carlin, turn his mic off.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea, Katie.
Yeah.
All
George
righty.
Carlin, take that out of my ass.
What is this? What is this up on the screen? Shoulders, knees and toes, head, shoulders, knees and toes, have some reverb, eyes and ears and mouth and nose, head, shoulders, knees and toes, head, shoulders, knees and toes, head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Oh, yeah. I can fucking sing. Come on. Daniel, I do this. I do it especially when you're here, Daniel, because I know as I'm doing it, you're like, does Todd think that there's anything good in there at all? And I know there's not. I mean,
your
anybody
singing
can
ability?
Do that. Let me do it again for you.
I think we got it.
No. You weren't paying attention.
No, I was right.
This
here.
Is the way I get you to pay attention. Let's do it again.
Okay.
Because then next time you'll be like, if I don't pay attention, I'll keep doing it. No, we don't have to do it again. All right, here we go. So I want to start nice and slow. We're back. We had a great time. Our guest today is Andy Kindler. And then next week is Jimmy Pardo. Oh, by the way, Jimmy Pardo,
Every time I see him at the gym, he does something that just fucking makes me laugh all day long. Today, I always go along with the bit, but I'm walking out of the locker room. He goes,
"Thought I told you to go to the other goddamn gym." I go, "I didn't want to. Just because we get into a fight doesn't mean I have to go to a different gym." He goes, "Yeah, well, go use the Wilshire gym like I told you."
And people are walking by, and it looks like these two maniacs. Of course, then I stop the bit instantly, and I analyze it. Like that guy said, "I thought I told you to go to the other gym." Like he thought the guy was going to listen. He went home and told his wife, "What happened? I told the guy to go to the other gym, and he's fucking gonna." And then when he sees me, he's like, "Hey, I thought I told you to go to the other fucking gym." So that was fun. And that was great. And then, is everything all right over here?
Yeah.
I like to know. I get nervous. Andrew's back. Andrew has a new name. Like, you know, Prince. Did he change his name to Prince or whatever?
I think he's back to Prince.
Yeah. So
you should know. You're the one that
brings it up. I don't know what I'm bringing up always. I don't know the facts and the information.
But didn't you like Hank?
You don't need the facts. You don't need the facts to talk about shit.
Did you smoke pot with Prince?
Do you ever watch Fox News? Come on. These are political jokes, you motherfuckers. All right.
Didn't you smoke pot with Prince?
Well, I don't know if that was smoking pot with Prince, even though the next day it would have been like, you know.
Hey, it's Todd.
Hey, what's up, Todd?
Oh, my God. I smoked pot with Prince last night.
What?
Oh, yeah. I was at the...
let me tell you the real story of what happened. I was outside. I was smoking pot with somebody else, and then he asked me for a hit. And that was it. We didn't really talk that much, but
you
it was
just
like,
gave
cool.
him a hit of your pot.
Yeah.
And you didn't...
It was very very nice, very like, hey, you know, he said something that was like... No. But...
He said what?
You don't have to be... You know, that little sound that the song makes. Could we put it in there in post, or can you bring it up maybe so people know the song? How quick can you get the actual part of that song?
What song is that?
Oh, you don't know what I'm doing? Do you know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Kiss by Prince. Thank you. Yeah, right there. Put it in. I'll leave you space right now, Katie. Here's how easy I make your life. Put the sound that I'm trying to imitate right there. People are like, that didn't sound that much like it. So,
well, anyway, I just thought.
All right. So, yeah. So, anyway, cut to me the next day.
Hey, Daniel. It's Todd. What's up?
So, what did you do last night?
Oh, smoke pot with Prince all fucking night. That guy don't shut the fuck up. Oh, my God. It was fucking nuts. First, I'm inside. I think he recognizes me from Last Comic Standing.
Oh, no way.
I'm sure he recognized me.
Of course he did. Is that Douglas?
Hey, when that happens, I'm going to bare my soul here a little bit. Whenever you do something with a high, what I like to, because I don't like the word famous, high-profile person, you know. Do you think that it's, hold on, oh, I just messed it up. Hold on, I'm sorry.
Was that my phone? No, two.
I don't like my phone sound today. But like when you do something, like when I did a show at the Ricardo Montalban Theater for some charity. Does anyone know what, Sensitive? Oh, by the way. So anyway, Andrew's, and then we'll go back to this. Andrew's new name, we have a name for him now. We call him Sensitive. Not in a mean way either, because I'm very sensitive, and I notice Andrew's very sensitive. So over the past 4 months, as I've been working on the show, a lot of times I'll call him. I'll go, hey, Andrew, you know, I invited Chris to do this. Would you like to go too? I know you're sensitive. I just wanted to invite you, which really does a funny way to say it to somebody, especially because I wasn't kidding. I'm like, I know you're sensitive, so if you want to – so he goes, so I just call him Sensitive now. So that's his new nickname. We reference him as Sensitive. Okay. Was that okay? All right, so that's that. Going back to the like you try to act cool. You ever have something happen in your life, and it's cool, and you want to talk about it, but you can't let everyone know you're talking about it. You know what I mean? Because then it looks crazy. Like, you know, like, for instance, let's say that pot with Prince story. I probably talked about that the next day. I didn't talk about it for a year to come, but I did mention it to a few people.
Right.
And then, but it's all right if I mention it to you casually, like, oh, is it the thing? You know, you put it in its perspective. You're not like, you won't fucking believe what happened. That's a little too much. Had a fun last night last night at the Soho. Yeah, I was outside, Prince. That was sort of cool that happened. You move past it. You don't, you know, you. But then if you walked out of the room and heard me on the phone, like, you're like, oh, he just told me that.
Yeah, Prince was there. We were smoking pot.
Then cut to, like, me in the car on the phone.
Oh, yeah, Prince. Well, Prince, I think he asked for my number. I was so high, I forgot.
You know, it just goes, it's ridiculously.
Cut to, you know what? Let me get off. I think that's Prince on the other line. Let me call you back.
Let me call you right back. I think that's Prince calling. Anyway. You know what? I didn't know he was black. So that was a... Hey-o. So anyway, welcome back. I'm going to start. I'm going to try to go in order here. Like I said, our guest is Andy Kindler. We met some nice people over the weekend when we were at the Dallas Improv, which they... Man, did I have fun there. They just go out of their way to make sure it's just everything is so great. And I loved everybody there. And as always, you meet people that listen to the podcast. And, yeah, they end up being nice people, I guess, because I guess you have a lot in common with them. So you would think, well, you can meet people that liked your stand-up show, and that's always nice when people like your stand-up show. Obviously it is. People think you're funny. It's a compliment. But there is a different connection with the podcast audience. So Scott Hines brought to the show, nicest guy in the world, came with some friends, and he brought a gum and a cookie. He brought a pack of gum and two cookies, and I ate them both right in front of him. So, and then... So thank you, Scott Hines. Couldn't have, nice guy, just good positive feedback, which I need to hear sometimes. You know, hopefully, you know, the audience always means something to you, but I would guess, like, as the longer you're doing it, you know, maybe I said to him, well, maybe when I'm as big as Howard Stern or something like that, you don't care as much. But right now, I said, I really appreciate the input. That made it look like if I was as big as Howard Stern, I wouldn't, but... I wish I could erase this whole podcast right now. All right. So anyway, he was very nice. And then there was another guy. He said, my friend's in the bathroom. Daniel, are you shitting me? No.
Do you really not know what I'm doing?
No. But we're going to have this. This is what's great about this show or any show like this. God, is it so much better to be able to be in the moment, even if it means interrupting something I was probably interrupting. I don't know what you're doing, but when you tell me what you were doing, it doesn't matter. It's what I don't know you're doing. Like if you go right now, oh, well, a rapist just drove by that raped my mom 10 years ago and I recognized the car. I was taking a picture of the license plate. So maybe I was doing something fucking necessary. It's sort of what looks like the information you want to throw my way. You're like, do you know what I was doing? No, that's the confusion. I don't doubt. Well, let me ask you what you were doing.
I was just taking pictures of everybody at the table.
You were completely turned around.
You saw me take a picture of you. Then I took a picture of you and Chris.
I didn't see it.
Then Katie. Then I took a picture over here. And then I took a picture of everybody here. And then that's when you called. Like, you didn't see me do that?
I was playing this in the background. So it seems better when we argue. It doesn't seem bad.
You'd give me a 15-second professional leeway.
You're right.
Oh, okay, I'll stop talking.
You know, when you're right, you're right, because I didn't notice. I thought you were just taking pictures of cars. Well, I heard a car start up downstairs, that they're moving out of the building.
Oh, I had them. That's also me. Yeah, I did that really quick.
No, I didn't think you did that. I thought you liked it, and as it was leaving, you wanted to take a video of them pulling it out of here.
Oh, wow. You were really off.
I was completely off. You know, if you're off all the time and you apologize, eventually the apology won't do anything, but I think I'm fair on the show that you're right. That was totally unnecessary.
I agree.
You agree that you should accept my apology. Okay, so anyway, so Sensitive's over there. Chris had a nice vacation. Katie said she didn't have a vacation. She goes, well, I was with my family. That's not a vacation. Which is sort of true. I mean, you love your family, but it's never. Hey, let me tell you, who gets, you know, who's around their family feeling rested and relaxed after it? I had some family over, and all I knew is somebody in my family, I won't mention their name, like they don't know who it is, and it wasn't even that. It was also a friend of a friend's, like, sort of like, I have, like, real cousins, and then I have fake cousins. Like, I've known them so long that they're like family. Well, some people wanted to bring their dog, and then some other people wanted to bring their dog. So you know what I did? I rented an RV. Daniel, you saw it, right?
Yes.
And there was an RV outside of my house, and I let some people stay in there. It was great.
And it was full of dogs.
By the way, it's a great way to have a Christmas. Like, I want to have all my family over. I do really want all my family to visit. I would like all my family to visit California once and stay, not at my house, but like we can wake up and have coffee. So I thought it's also a good idea for
off
business
the property.
Yeah, rent a guest house. Uh-huh. So basically, what I did is I have a big RV parked outside of my house. I could even put two out there, and that way they're in there. They have their own space. But they come in the morning for breakfast, they have dinner, but they have their own space, and they spend like a week in L.A. I would love that. I would love to wake up and, you know, just have that type of, you know. Anyway, I know my sister-in-law, Merrill, listens, so get on it. People are said they're going to Dave's Barbershop in Philly. Two people went in already to get their hair cut. Merrill just tweeted it to me. Dave's Barbershop in Center City, Philadelphia. So anyway, for Christmas. It was fun, and you were over. It was fun, right? Mm-hmm. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
Why don't you talk into the mic?
I'm letting you rip through your stuff.
No, I didn't say. I said if I was on a roll. This is not a roll. Russell Miller. Russell Miller? Russell Miller. He said he was in the hospital, and the show got him through it. That's what we fucking do for people.
What did he have?
He was working as a tree trimmer, and a 1,000-pound log got dropped on his back and leg.
Are you... Oh, do we have the footage?
Yes.
Oh, that's him?
Oh, okay. God, motherfucker!
Okay, he fell down. He fell down. Oh, those people are running over there. Is someone handing him an iPod?
And I fell off the ladder. Okay.
First of all, somebody's got to turn off the ZAW. Why is that still thing? All right, forget.
All right, then we did that for you, Russell Miller.
That bit.
And then also Hector. So we got that. Now back to...
Did we look up that sound effect just for Russell Miller?
No, I didn't even... I turned to him and I... Wait, you're ruining the theater of the mind. Yeah. Rory did apologize over the weekend. So anyway. So now back, just to let you know that I'm... You know, driving this train here, whatever you call it. The other person that we met in Dallas that was very nice, the guy goes, hey, my friend's a big fan of the show. He's in the bathroom right now. And is there any way you could, like, will you be here in a minute when he comes out? I'm like, yeah, I hang out over here the rest of the show, you know, near the sound booth. Right in the path as people leave, I set right up. So I ran to the sound guy, and I said, hey, Google you, because he goes, my friend loves that song, You Make My Pants Want to Get Up and Dance. He can't stop singing it. So I ran to the sound man, and I'm like, can you get up, You Make My Pants Want to Get Up and Dance? A little off-putting to a sound man when he doesn't know what you're asking me if my pants? I don't understand what you're saying. So he YouTubed it. Took him 15 seconds. He starts blaring it, and then he cranks it in the bathroom. So this guy comes out of the bathroom laughing because he's like, they're playing You Make My Pants Want to Get Up and Dance. We bring happiness to people. That's what I do. One kid's in the hospital. He's sick. He gets his foot cut off or from a chainsaw. And then, you know, what happened to him? He's fine?
No, he said he had a dislocated and broken left hip, tears in his right shoulder.
That's worse.
And several spinal chips that will hurt but will not cause any lasting
problems. That's worse.
Spinal chips?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Wait, why is that chainsaw still going off in the hospital room? Well, the people, they can't.
You know, what if he woke up the next day and they were trimming trees outside his hospital
room? Oh, and he has a
nervous
breakdown.
And he's like, that's really cool. Guys, come on!
Wait, he's in the hospital.
Thank you.
He's in the hospital. He's barely holding on to life, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but he's fine. Yeah. Hope this is all right to do. Give me the beep again. His mom's around him. Everything's going to be fine. And they just have him on enough. They've just.
You're going to wake up. Why don't you be. You wake up, I'll be the doctor. You're just waking up.
And then I hear the chainsaw outside the window?
Yeah. Okay. Just hit it. Chris, hit it whenever you think it's funny. No, don't put the music. Okay, ready, go.
He's trying stuff. I like it. Don't ever reprimand him. No, reprimand
I'm
Chris.
I'm directing.
Not yet. Wait till Daniel gives you the other link.
Okay, go ahead.
Doctor.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
How are you? Are you okay? How do you feel?
I don't remember anything. I guess that's a good thing.
Okay. Well, first of all, remember, do not... It's very important that you stay calm. You were in an accident.
No, I'm calm. I just don't know.
With a chainsaw. Okay. Oh.
What the fuck are they doing? Shut that off! Shut it off!
Okay, sir, calm down.
All right, I'm and we're the bailouts. All right, I was all right. I probably could have taken it further, but I got a little confused. I got a lot to rip through. But I like it. I always like when we do bits, so it's fun. Sensitive, you all right over there? Okay.
And now, here's the lovable Norm MacDonald for Audible.com.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed.
Norm, have you heard of Audible?
On your reading.
Yes, they should monetize.
They're good, right?
Yeah, Audible.com.
I guess Norm MacDonald is like one of their spokespeople now.
Oh,
who gives Audible.com more love? That and Sharpie. I've sent those two corporations more than love. They need to jump on the Todd Glass train, as they say, right now. There's got to be some executive over there going, no, they're playing you there. And you know the thing about it? I like both of them. The Sharpie. Who doesn't have a Sharpie? What does it say right here to George Carlin? What's in my hand?
It says a Sharpie. Right, it is a Sharpie.
I have a red Sharpie. Yes. I have the thick red. I love them. I love Sharpie. Is there a slogan, Express Yourself? It should be. You want to hold that up for this so people at home can see? We take a picture. We put it online. Okay, so hold on. Sharpie. Google, what's it called? Twitter Sharpie. Okay, that's what I want you to do. I want you to Twitter Sharpie. Say, and then Twitter HGTV. I'm talking every effing person, every fucking person. HGTV, I'm mentioning them on shows. Okay, that's enough. Ay-yi-yi. What are you doing?
Doing video.
Oh, you're doing video.
I'm doing video for a sizzle reel.
I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you were trying to eat your camera.
A sizzle reel.
Made no sense. What, are we trying to sell the show to the networks? All right, listen, Paul Tompkins, I got a call later. Paul, look, I might have to call you. I want you to do the show, so can we just do this right now on the air or whatever you call this? I don't know what to call this. Is it on the air?
You can say on the air.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm tired of fucking doing this shit. This show, it's fucking over. All right, let me get through everything.
I knew you knew.
I knew you. Yeah, the old, this show sucks. I'm just going to drop it, and then you say the old.
Oh, my God, you know.
Oh, what?
You guys already talked to him?
It's like a bit in my act. It's like when you say something sarcastically and then your friends just should make it like it's positive. Like, you know what? This show sucks and no one listens. I'm just fucking going to stop it. I'd be doing everyone a favor.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel. You got lost, didn't you?
No. I knew you knew, but I was just trying to make it go a new way. Go a new way with it. I was trying to...
Can I show you how a bit is done?
Okay.
You could say that.
Okay. The show just sucks.
Not only am I going to show you how this bit's done, I'm going to take this bit and I'm going to fucking drive it into your head with a fucking bat. That's how good I'll do it to show you.
Ahead.
You didn't know where you were at. But do it. Set me up right.
I'm doing it.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if I can do it. I don't know. This show is just, I don't feel like it's making a difference, and it's not what I wanted to do initially anyway. So, you know,
oh, my God. That's exactly what everyone here was saying yesterday, and we thought we didn't know how to tell you. You knew already.
You what?
Well, there's no more at the end. You know? Oh. You have to, all right, here we go. So here's where I'm gonna go on YouTube, put in Preston and Steve WMMR. They picked me up at my house in an ambulance one morning, and it's on the YouTube. You can see it, and I had no idea. Like, they knocked on my door at 7 a.m. I thought a car was coming to get me. I go outside, there's an ambulance, and they take me to this. To the Subaru plant where I do a live show, and you can see they're pulling me out of the ambulance. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And then, okay, so there's that. And then we also, we went to, tell them about when you went to Starbucks and you saw Eddie Murphy in there, and then what happened with that girl?
So I was, at this Coffee Bean. I don't mean to correct you. And I saw
the quick version.
And Eddie Murphy was
getting so comfortable over there. I'm getting nervous.
Dim the light. Yeah. Someone needs some background music. Anyway, I saw Eddie Murphy getting back in his car with whatever he had in his hand. So I went up, and it was empty, and it was just the two girls behind the counter. And I said to the, I got my coffee, and I said to the girl, one girl, what does Eddie Murphy get? And she goes, oh my God, well, he gets chocolate with the thing, and blah 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 blah. And then the other girl puts her hand on her shoulder and goes, maybe you shouldn't tell customers what other people get, especially celebrities, because it's like, you know, their privacy. And they got really awkward. And she goes, oh, my God, I didn't know. And then it was really uncomfortable. You know, I'm standing right there. It's an empty store.
Right,
then,
to correct you, right.
Yeah. And then I go, you know what? You might be right, but I think you made a huge mistake because you corrected her in front of me, which makes you just as wrong as her. And then instantly that girl realizes and she goes, oh my God, Stacy, I'm so sorry. She goes, no, it's okay. And then like a hug and they're like, no, I apologize. I shouldn't have done that. And I was like, see, we all fucked up. Right. And so, then I walked away. So and then I fucked both of them.
They don't have to, I know, I do that when I'm, you got, did,
it was just a story and then it didn't end no, it's in like fine. A big comedic punchline.
It ends, I have something to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, did you fuck him? No. So I when he told me that, I always think, yeah, you do have to defend somebody. Whenever anybody corrects anybody really rudely and apparently in front of everybody, you have to correct them. You know, you have to correct the other person.
Because you have to give them their dignity back.
Yeah, if you give them their dignity back. And Katie, what are you doing? Writing a novel? You notice that very much. What are you doing over there?
I had to respond to a work email. Right
I knew it was something more than... I feel
well,
the energy.
Work too, but it was like
I know.
Something for
it
that.
Is
the
hard.
Recording
though.
At
what
Meltdown
is it?
Tonight.
How so. Much of that? Be honest with me. How much of that is me, and then how much of it is normal? Like, because you might go, well, it's a normal, but Todd's a very sensitive. Is any amount of it, honestly, is any amount of it like if somebody's like, let's say somebody's at the table. Now, the Katie, by the way, in all fairness, just so you know, I could give a shit. You, if you did it every show, I would. But then I think like I should be able to have things going on around me. But
well, you're hypervigilant. You just notice everything going on around you. Nothing wrong with that.
Not only does she not ever do it, but when she does it once, she even does. She doesn't throw me under the bus. She makes me sound like I'm normal with the big words. It makes it sound like no, there's totally a reason. Like there, what was the word you just said?
Hypervigilant.
I'm hypervigilant. You know what? And the opposite.
Well, that's not necessarily normal.
Shut up. You think our listeners
she
know?
She still said
you
that.
You think
you're...
these fucking idiot listeners know?
Shh.
What if we just lost two
they
listeners?
They can't hear us.
That's
if we
bullshit.
Whisper.
He calls us fucking idiots. I gave him a gum and a cookie. So anyway, going back. What was I just talking about?
You have to give them their dignity back.
We have to give them their dignity back. And in that case, you're even driving me nuts with your water. Like you're hugging it. And why don't you just fuck your water and get it over with? So one time I was on a cruise ship, and same thing happened. There was a woman on there, and I asked her how much to tip because I'd been on the cruise for a while. And I know they're not supposed to tell customers what to tip, but I'd been on there before doing stand-up, and I thought it was safe to ask her. I knew she could tell me sort of as a friend, you know. Mm-hmm. And the other bigger person walked over and goes, whatever her name was, Karen, mm-hmm. whatever. Oh, we don't tell people how much they can tip. And, you know, it's like... She got off on doing that, and I really meant what I was saying. You know, I said, well, and by the way, in your case, that person had the opportunity to realize they just made a mistake. So you're not trying to, you know, you're not trying to corner someone into, you know, they have the opportunity to go, oh my God, and then you don't care either because you just realize it was a nice person that just had a lapse of judgment.
Right.
When they're given that chance to prove whether they just had a lapse of judgment or they just fucking love to correct people.
Right.
So she goes, you don't tell people what to tip. And I said, look, I don't mean to be a jerk, but I'm sure no one knows the rules better than you. But you really shouldn't tell her that in front of me. That makes me feel bad. And it legitimately does. It's not like I'm trying. I'm giving her shit, but it's legitimate shit. It does make me feel crappy to watch an employee get yelled at. I don't want to be a part of that. And she, instead of doing what your person did, it went, you know what? She started to quote the rules. And I went, you know the way I did it. I went, listen, I said that. I go, this is not a conversation about the rules because I'd be out of my goddamn mind. I said out of my mind if I thought I knew the rules better than you. And seriously, there's no sarcasm. I don't know the rules at all. You know the rules. I don't know anything about the rules. It's about doing it in front of me. This person was so fucking hung up. The more they kept proving that they wanted to yell at the person is the more that they don't give because they don't give a fuck about the customer. It had nothing to do with the customer, and she proved it slowly but surely by just she – it pained her to have to look at me with any amount of sincerity and go, what your person did from her heart.
And did she?
No. She finally went, I am sorry. Like, you know, this is 15 years ago, probably longer, so you forget. But it was the best she could muster up was, okay, well, I'm sorry if that made you uncomfortable. Now, once they do that, I'm sorry if that made you uncomfortable, you can't go, no, don't make it look like I'm – no, you just got to accept that. Apology. So I did. But the other girl, obviously, later, when she could, you know, when no one was around, she goes, thank you, like, spared her soul. Oh, thank you so much. I'm like, yeah, you know, that I didn't like her doing that.
So. Can I ask you a question about that?
Yes. It was a long time ago, so if it's every detail.
But, well, it's not every detail, but like a minor detail. I don't know if you'll remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you fuck that shit?
We'll take a break. We'll be right back right after this, and we'll tell you the rest of this story. back.
All right.
Oh, what are you doing? Oh, okay. All right, we'll just chop this down, but you can play it. I wasn't really going to take a break.
Are we on a break now?
Yeah.
Oh, we are?
Well, he just went to the... I guess we don't have to be.
Oh, we can come back.
Okay, let's come back.
Okay, yeah. We're back.
Okay, we're back. Did they hear all that?
Yeah,
where are you going?
In.
No! Get the fuck out of here! Oh, my God! Am I freaking out because I'm high, or is it like just some, you know, just...
Why is that?
Because it's just, I don't know. It just seems like everything's all... It's just like one person over there, then you're running over and getting food, and then I ask you to eat, and you're eating. No, I think I'm right. I think I'm going to not edit this. I think I'm right. I think you got to focus a little.
Okay.
Right? No. I'm not asking right. Stop it. I'm not asking right. If somebody went to the bathroom, that's one thing. You lose one person, I realize, okay, somebody has to pee. They have to pee. But then you're over there grabbing snacks. It's like, right. I need you to focus. I go to talk. You got a mouthful of food.
Okay.
Defend yourself. You're an equal. It's not like there's no hierarchy.
Well, I'm, you know, it's your show. I don't want to. You are hypervigilant, I guess. Somebody said we're taking a break. I get up to get
no,
a pretzel.
No, then after I said then, no, so, no,
I get
we're
up
not.
To take a pretzel, and then, like, at some point, you got to give me some. If that was a.
I don't know.
This is now a 30-second, maybe a minute thing, as opposed to a thing that was did not have to be a thing. Right. But it's all right. Let's go.
Maybe it's the collective.
What do you? What else?
No,
what else do you have to get?
No.
Come on. You have a lot on your list.
We could have silence.
No, look how much you have on your list.
No, it's all could be silent.
Maybe emails,
hold on.
Let's rip through some emails.
What do you think is going to happen tomorrow? When you think who's going to think and go? Yeah, there wasn't there a lot of other things going on.
Not really. Chris got up to go to the bathroom, and I got up to get a cookie. Or whatever it is.
You change it every time. A pretzel, a cookie.
Well, it was a piece of dried fruit. That's a lot harder to get out than a thing.
Look, these are the moments when I say, first thing I want to do is edit it. I want to edit it out. Because, you know, what if I was just a little bit spaced and I got a little bit hypervigilant? Now I feel like everyone's staring at me.
Well, that's what happens when you demand everyone's full attention.
That's good. Look at Sensitive over there. He's doing it perfect. Okay, so.
I don't know if... Okay, good.
So we
How about some emails?
Yeah, hold on. I want to go through some other stuff too. It's what it is, you know. So we get to the airport.
Oh no.
I found a puppy. There's so much to talk about.
What?
I did. I found that someone gave me they were walking around with it. It was like 6 weeks old. We'll talk about that next. So we're at the airport. And we get there an hour and a half early. This is to go to Dallas. We did smoke a little pot in the car on the way over. Someone asked me that later. They go, were you high? And I said, no, because I feel like they wanted to just, you know, oh, no wonder you're high. But then I thought we were high. And I thought, that's why it happened. We never realized that when it happened. I never realized it until I'm just telling you right now.
That is true.
So we decide we're going to the pizza kitchen or whatever it's called.
We got to the airport an hour and a half.
Hour and a half early. And it was no lines. Everything was great. We decided to go eat. Cut two. It's quarter of, and we're still eating pizza and stuff in this. What's it called?
California Pizza Kitchen.
California Pizza Kitchen. And Daniel goes. In all fairness to Daniel, he does say, "Hey, maybe we should head down towards the gate." I was the one. I don't know how I ever convinced you it was more your fault. Because the more I think about it,
comedically, you did. I don't think it's. Oh, right, I think we're both responsible.
So he says, "Let's go," and I said, "Well, we have time. You know, we have our bags. I checked a bag on the flight. Oh God, the rigmarole we went through to get some pot on that plane. I was so nervous. So I go, Daniel, you can put it in my bag, but you got to check it because I am not. You know, if something happens, not even carry on stuff, just below. I don't even. You know why? Because." Even if they slow you up, they're not going to throw you in jail. I get it. But and I know.
Well, I just paid the ticket for pot possession on the plane.
And all my friends bring it on the plane. So, but I still didn't want to take a chance. So we get to the airport.
And I said, all right, I'll check it if you pay for it.
Yeah, which of course, it's my bag. So anyway, then we go upstairs. We're eating. It's quarter of. And Daniel goes, we should head to the gate. I go, we're all right because we have a checked bag. And after 9/11, they don't like to take off when you got a checked bag. They got to yank the bag off. Why is your bag on the plane, but you're not anything? So that's why they do a lot more heavy paging. It's not necessarily that they care that if you miss your flight, but there's been times, especially right at, you know, closer to 9/11, the more they were doing it. Like, you know, they could have paged you and it was like a minute after. They'd paged because it's a lot easier to wait a minute than go in there and yank a bag off. So we thought they're fine. So we get to the gate and it's like seven. Well, we think it's 10 of, but it's 7 minutes of. and the door is shut. And I go, oh, God, hey, they haven't even boarded yet. I'm like, oh, my God, I knew we rushed up here for nothing because they didn't even board yet. The door was still shut. So I asked someone, hey, are you going to Dallas, all the people waiting? They're like, no, that plane left. And your heart, oh, my God. Because, you know.
There was a moment of disbelief.
There was a moment, yeah. Left. I'm like, what? What? So anyway, I go to the I run to the other thing and I go. They go. I think that door is shut. The airplane door is shut and the door to the jetway was shut. All of a sudden, a guy comes out of the jetway door, not the plane door, but obviously you know the jetway door, the part that meets the airport. I guess everyone knows that. And he goes. And Daniel, don't worry at this point of the story that I end it by you know obviously showing that we all have the ability to. I tried in the beginning.
I thought of how we could have gotten on the plane.
Oh, hold on. But let's get through it. In the beginning, I make it sound like I'm the teacher and Daniel's the student. But at the end, if I can tilt the story, is that what they call it? You're leaning towards, you know, you're saying what the end is. I fuck up in another situation just as bad or worse than Daniel. So Daniel goes to start to back at that. When the person, you know, I go, oh, is there any way? He goes, no, the door's shut. The door is shut on the plane. Now, whether it was or it wasn't, you never know. But you're like, it's hard to see the plane out there and knowing a minute ago and knowing you're always on a plane and it never takes off. It's just going to sit there for another 5 minutes, even if the door is shut. So it's worth even if that door is shut, but the plane is there. You could open it back up. But nevertheless, everybody else, it's so hard to realize it's your fault when you are in the shittiest situation. But for some reason in this situation, I rose to – I thought, you know, you could go, yeah, but the guy wasn't sensitive. And even then I defended him. I said, you know what happens, Daniel? They're sensitive, and then people still shit all over them. So they just come at it from a very cold place sometimes, especially if they've been working there 15 years. Maybe a newer person, you know, hasn't, you know, so you get a new person maybe. And some people manage to work through their whole lives and be nice. I'm just saying it's hard when people yell at you when it's not your fault. So they get a thick skin. So I sort of tell the short version to Daniel. And he goes, yeah, but I go, Daniel, no. I go, you want to go through life like that, wrong and cocky? You know, just, I will give Daniel major credit. Like, sometimes I do feel sometimes like, you know, like I'm a little hard on him. Like, Daniel, you shouldn't do that. Why are you doing? Don't blow your nose at the table. But he always accepts it graciously. He always is cool about it. Unless you heard what you just heard about the cookies and he defended himself. So I'm going to let him off the hook for those cookies. He had a moment of craziness. I throw it back your way. So anyway, so he goes, yeah, you're right. He goes, no. He goes, I'm glad, you know, and I'd rather be told. I don't want to be that person. So then we go decide to.
Long story short.
No, it's all right. It's a good story, I think. So anyway, Daniel says, I'm going to go deal with this at customer service. I go, Daniel. He goes, believe me, I have it all under control. And he goes, what if I come back in handcuffs? Like, cut to just him being dragged out of the airport.
You motherfucker. You know? Fuck Delta.
So anyway, Daniel. And by the way, I think he's genuine. I know he's genuine with what I'm about to tell you he did. Because this woman that helped us was kind. But he was just fluffing it up a little. So all of a sudden I hear Daniel. He calls me because I'm staying in where we were hanging out with all the luggage. And it was just easier for me to sit with three pieces of luggage while he went to customer service. And I hear him. He goes, hey, Todd, it's Daniel. He goes, you got a sweetheart helping me over here. She's so nice.
I should say she was an older, elderly lady.
And he goes, oh, and he was just being so, and she was... So she got us out of there on a flight that had to go through Houston. She was very nice and very sweet, and she got us out of there on a flight that went through Houston. And then we
got there that night.
Yeah, and we got there that night, and then we get to the Marriott, and I don't think I'm ever rushing to a show. I always go in the day before, but there's a show going on at the Improv. They wanted me to close it out. I didn't have to, but you know, I wanted to. So we get into the hotel. And they don't have I go, can I have I'm with the Improv. Sometimes they just have it under Improv. You don't even say your name. You just say Improv, and they pull your name up. It's just easier sometimes, just the way I do it sometimes. And she gives me a key to a room. Takes her a while. She's new. But with as much as I am running late, I take my own advice. You know, I'm nice. Like inside, I'm like, get the, are you fucking shitting me? But outside, you know, hey, you have a decency you have to have. And so I'm calm. I go, you know, so she takes forever, finally gets me a key, gives me the room, gives me the key to the room. I go down there. I open the door. There's somebody in the room, or at least it's being used. The rollaway bed is undone. It's a mess in there. So I go back and I said, still, and I'm walking down the hallway. I go, "Are you fucking shitting me?"
I got my room really quick and left.
Yeah, he got his room really quick. I said, "Are you fucking shitting me?" Walking down the hallway, you know. But then when I get back, this is after it took her a long time. Finally got a key. Now I'm heading back because someone's in the room. At this point, I have escalated, but I still manage to. Once I get to her, I'm proud of the way I act. It's like it's not her fault. You're late and she's new, and so you hide everything, you know. And you go, I go, "Oh, there's somebody in that room." She goes, "That's the improv room." Well, she thought when you pull up improv on any given weekend, there could be four people staying in there. You know, they have two from this case. They had a competition the night before, so they had two comedians from that, and then you could have the headliner, you could have the middle, sometimes an opener, depends who's traveling. She goes, "Oh, yeah, that's the improv room." She thought we all stayed in one room. But of course, I'm like, no, we all have our own room. That's probably a comedian that, I guess, and I'm right, that might be over there already, hanging over from next week or something. "Oh, my name's Todd Glass." She goes, "Oh, can I call my manager?" And I'm like, at this point, it's showing. And I go, but I think it's all right, because I go, "Listen," I go, "I lectured him all day about like not being short with people." I go, "And I feel bad because I feel like I'm coming unglued, and it's not your fault, so please just forgive me." She goes, "Oh," I go, I do. You already gave me a room, so you know you're allowed. So why don't you just put me in another room? You know, I'm sure, all you have to do is tell your management. It's not like, hey, he wasn't allowed to have a room. You knew I was allowed to have a room. I'm sure you would. I'm sure if you told them, think about it. Yeah, the room I gave them was dirty. Would they rather hear, "So I just sent them to another hotel. We didn't have a room for them." Or would they rather hear, "Yeah, the room was dirty. I shuffled them into another room." Doesn't that, you know, that makes sense, right? And she seems to be all right. And she sits there, and I'm telling you, she clicks at that computer for, I don't want to exaggerate, because if I exaggerate 1 second, it fucks my story up. A minute. Click, 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 click. After all that clicking, she goes, "Can I call my manager? I think I'd feel more comfortable." And I go, "Oh." So I go, "Oh." And I go, no, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Right? And then she comes back because the manager's not answering. She goes, "I don't know what to do." I said, "Listen, they have an account with the improv. Will you just," and we talk. At this point, I'm getting a little nervous. It is getting a little long. But we go past some things. And finally, I think she's going to give me a room. And then she goes, I'll give you a room, but I need to charge you for the room." I went, "Whatever you got to do, do it. It's all right at this point, but I don't understand. I just, what, you know, you just give me a room. I want to get in there." I blow up, and then I instantly feel horrible. I go, "Oh, my God." I go, "Can you give me your hand? Just because I want to have a human contact." But then as I'm doing that, I realize that's freaky. You know, "Give me your hand, because I just want to press it between my hands and go, I'm sorry." Like, that's – so, you know, then she thought I was going to rape her. And her hands were so sweaty. I mean, dripping in sweat. And that's how bad I felt.
What if we said to that guy?
Nothing could help that story.
No, it's a great lesson. It's very, you know, a very cyclical comedic thing. You know, started a day with you lecturing me, and then it ends with you. "Are you shitting me? Just give me the room."
Yeah.
"Just come on." What if I said to that guy, it comes out of the gate, "Well, I paged you 3-4. You're right. You're right. And let me just say some of the things that made him an asshole in my mind." Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I could still be wrong and he could be an asshole, right?
Although there's no doubt that he didn't have any and I defend you here. I'm defending the employees that get cold-hearted, because I get why.
Because you saw the woman that helped us a half hour later.
She probably worked there just as long. So is it possible to have a lot of people be mean to you and still rise and be some and have a little warmth? Yes, you are right. You are right with that. But
he's probably been rude to so many times.
And you don't want to shell. My point is, you don't want to mirror that behavior. But I get what you're saying. Go ahead.
And he goes, "Well, I've paged you. And it's like, I've traveled, you know, Todd, you've been flying for 20 years. I've been flying for a long time. High, a lot of it. And, you know, I have been paged. Sometimes they, you know, have a very unique last name. It gets fucked up. I always, whenever I've been that late, I've heard the page. I've gotten there. Maybe we didn't, whatever. Maybe there was music at the bar. My point is, what if I said, "Well, you got to get my bag off the flight. I've been traveling. The only medicine I have left is in that bag. If I don't take them in 5 hours, between 5 and 6 hours, I go into shock. So either I have to call a doctor here or you get that bag." And I go, "So you either go do that now. Now I'm informing you right now, because it's their job. Once I tell them that's what the thing, he has to go do something.
Right.
Either go start that process and that's your day, or just call them and tell them you have two more.
I think I would have let you do that. I would have let you do that. By the way, that's better than the idea we had. And I think we're safe saying this because we're just saying it in some crazy way. I was going to say to them, well, you're not allowed to I didn't say this, but like it's a what if. Well, I thought they weren't allowed to take off, to be honest, because I thought, what if there is a bomb on my bag? There's not. There is not, obviously.
But obviously there isn't one.
Here you go.
But
yeah, what if there's a bomb? And then Daniel goes, well, what did you say he would say?
I don't know.
Well, what if there's a bomb? And the guy goes, there isn't. I go, well, I don't know. He goes, that's what I was saying. If I was crazy enough and wanted to win, what would happen to me if I went, I couldn't say there's a bomb on there. But if I said to him, well, if there was a bomb on there. And then I looked at him and I went, I win, motherfucker. I'll take a night in jail. Whatever's going to happen to me right now. And I realize there's people on the way. I saw your radio, somebody. You're about to look at me when I'm handcuffed and go, that fucking idiot, he thought it was worth it and it wasn't. I want you to know when you watch me get pulled out of here in handcuffs, it was fucking worth it. I am totally, the only reason I would be fucked if I didn't realize I was going to get arrested. When I had 5 seconds to think about doing that, I know that I'm about to be arrested and it's worth it because you fucking lose.
Yeah. Aha, go deplane that plane.
Yeah, go deplane the plane. I fucking won. You didn't get to take off. But we didn't do that.
The medicine thing could have worked and not gotten us arrested. I think if you just leaned on him enough, I just told you that. So
I think what would have happened, that they would have come up with some security. A security guard taking, once you say that to a cop, it's, what is it called?
A report?
Yeah.
An incident report?
I think they'd do some research on that.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, we can
find. You don't think he'd go,
We can find out. We got a trip to Portland coming up. Here's something I want to deal with that's very sensitive. I want to look at what time it is here. Andy Kindler's
going
to be here.
We've been going for 45.
We're doing good.
45?
There's nothing here. So much to talk about. This is something that I dealt with before, but I want to deal with it again, and I'm going to say it every time. By the way, the kindest reviews that I like, I read the reviews, or when people say, you're all over the place, but you know what? It's okay. It's all right. I like, thank you. They're the people, gum and a cookie. And I bet 2 years from now, people will be like, you know what? He's not as all over the place anymore. Maybe I will be. Only time will tell. So this guy, it's not anymore, I can't believe they write reviews. I get it. People want to express themselves. You might think, well, hasn't that always been my view? No, I think there were times in me and other people, why would they want to? Hey, people want to express themselves. I'm just trying to figure these people out. You might go, Todd, you're disguising that these people are frustrating you. No, it does frustrate me, but I don't, my attitude towards it. So this guy went something about the show. He said that 1938, Jared. Now, could this be the same Jared? The other one was 1983. Well, maybe this is different. This is 1938. He said, tell Blake Wexler, I'm paraphrasing, funny, yelling doesn't equal funny. And if I want to know any more lighting ideas, I'll go to Todd. Like, I over-talk about that. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. First of all, Blake Wexler's funny. I can defend him more than for you, sir. Now, this is for, I know other people, and other people in Sweet, they go, Todd, you shouldn't let these people bother you. Understand from now on, it's okay. It doesn't, I get it. You're saying there's a lot of people that are okay with it. I get it. I just want you to know. So you don't. I appreciate that. It's very sweet. But no, in the way that I'm going forward about this is more trying to figure these people out. So yes, that is funny, but that's not what I'm defending. But as far as the lighting goes, the reason I want to know, how did this guy even listen to one? Did he like the show at a point? Like, that's why I want to have someone like him on. I am curious to know the story behind this guy. Hold on. What is he saying? His name is N-O-R. M-A-I-J-W. Now, I can't imagine that he has any passion in life, and I'll tell you why. Because people that don't give a shit about lighting, there's a lot of people that don't give a shit about lighting. They relate because they have something they're passionate about, attention to detail. So if I don't connect with this guy by that lighting thing as much as it bothers me, that's because this guy is a pig with an ugly apartment. And that's just all I wanted to say.
Send us a picture of your place, wherever you are. If you really want to prove Todd wrong,
he's not,
send us pictures
well, I'm kidding
of your
about the last part.
House, landscape, inside out.
Yeah, something creative you've done. Because
send us a picture of a person you're having sex with. I mean, let's really see where you're at in life.
No, no,
you
no.
Know?
It could be anything. It could
a bank
be
bank statement.
Unless he's lying. But if he genuinely, he could lie and he could, you know, go, oh, I showed him a picture of, you know, me. And no, but you'll know in your soul. Send us a picture, because I think I would connect with anyone that knows what it's like to have the atmosphere around them right, whether you paint, whether you are a carpenter, you know what it's like
of you being creative.
I don't care if it's an old woman and she crochets. I don't give a shit. I'm just kidding. the last line, the way I said it. So anyway, I'll probably edit that out. Oh, there's so much. Why does that? And then what's the other one? There we go. Night. I'll talk about it on the show. I'll talk about this. I'll just do what I'm doing right now. All right. The Kardashians, they finally got me. Up to now, you know my theory on that.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm going to tell you what they did that really fucking got me bad. Usually, you know my theories on those shows. Now that, you're going to, is that okay too?
No, that's wrong. I was maybe thought that it would lead somewhere. I was doing it.
I hope the story I'm telling leads somewhere.
The Kardashians got you. I want to know how. How
Daniel, by the way, no, I just want people to know. But there's a glass box in the middle of the room with topics. And as I'm talking about this Kardashians, Daniel's reading one of the cards.
Well, I just realized something very important as I read this card.
You're not going to get this. Tell me what it is. Go ahead. What is it? You know that
if one of your friends needed to move in for a year,
mm-hmm.
who would you like it to be?
Give it to me. I'll think about it. I think sensitive.
So how did the Kardashians get? Like the show? You're into the
well,
show?
Well, no. You know, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. Well, you know those shows I never think of. The, you know, people go, oh, they're the end of the world. No, no. They're just crappy TV that can suck the soul out of you, but it's easy not to watch. And when you watch it and it sucks the soul out of you, you get it. You're like, yeah, I did that to myself. That's okay. And I do that to myself sometimes. But this is what finally got me. I'm somewhat comedic in that I'm saying this. They named their dog Louis Vuitton. Now, I'll tell you why I thought about this, because fucking bad comedy gets me fucking pissed off. And that's what that is. And so there's a reason. Oh, by the way, when I first heard that, I was watching it on E! Louis Vuitton. I don't know. Why is that angering me? Why isn't that just a stupid? Because it's Louis Vuitton. Get it? Like the bag. That's their sense of humor. And that just cracks me up. Even though it doesn't really affect me, it does. What am I supposed to do? Think of all the people that they go up to and they go, what's your dog? Louis Vuitton. What do they have to do? Ha ha! What are you supposed to do? Fake laugh? Punch them in the fucking face for their shitty attempt at humor? His name is Louis Vuitton, like the bag. It's not a luggage. It's a dog. Do people laugh? Oh, God. Yeah, did you hear that? The dog is named Louis Vuitton, honey. They're funny. I thought they were just dumb cunts, but they're funny. They're funny. It's Louis Vuitton. The dog's name is Lou. Come over here. Hold on 1 second. Don't go anywhere. I want to get my father-in-law. Come over here. I got it. Yeah, listen, this dog's name is Louis Vuitton. Now, I'm not telling you what type of luggage they have. That's what they named their dog. So I hope, you know, I've had the worst thought of, no, I don't want to say it. All right, so there's that. The Kardashians. I want you to tweet HGTV. I asked you to do it like 30 minutes ago, and I meant do it. And Sharpie. And Audible. These are three people.
And here's Dimitri Martin for Audible.com.
Oh. Dimitri, you heard of Audible.com, right?
Yeah, especially because their name, it makes you listen.
Dimitri is basically a sponsor for them, through us. Nobody gives more love than Audible. They need to find out about us. All right. Well, Daniel, we had fun. I never went there before. Here's another time when I corrected Daniel and I ended up being... Well, I don't want to sell myself under the bus either. A lot of times, it's situation by situation. That's all it is. Sometimes I correct you and you're right. A friend of mine had his birthday and his family was in town and they took him to Spago, right? Mm-hmm. I've never been there before. Have you?
No, no.
So I said, dress up nice-ish. And even me, mm-hmm. I think that's a place you wear a suit. And I'm not like, you know, some bim fuck. I don't go to a lot of places around L.A., but I got pretty good style. I know, you know, okay, that's, I think that's a place. Daniel comes strolling down the street with his sneaks and a hat and a fucking...
Same thing I'm wearing right now.
And a backpack. I changed the story to make you look worse. And a backpack. And then I said, Daniel, I said dress nice. He goes, nah, I think it's all right. We open the door. Boom. Everyone's wearing exactly what he's wearing. It was fine. I don't usually get... I don't know if we got starstruck, but I did get a little bit like, you know, you get where you, oh my God, guess who's sitting over at that table?
And then, oh, that was great. I thought it was Barbara Boxer, but that's because I'm a sexist. But then I looked it up, and they do look a little bit alike.
Gloria.
All right.
Gloria All Right, is that her name?
All Red.
That's all what right. I thought. I thought All Right was wrong. I thought All Right was wrong. Gloria Allred. I don't know why I have my perception of her is, and I think when you say you haven't really studied it, like if someone I really respected told me what her, you know, what she's about, I think I would, you know, go, okay. So I don't really do it with a lot of research. But my inkling of her is, I'm sure there's some cases where if you went to that case, you're like, no, that was a good thing what she did on that case. She defended a very undefended person and blah, blah, blah. But I always think of Gloria Allred. It's like the police department's firing a 500-pound girl, and she jumps in and takes the case for sexism. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I just think
Fatism.
Of, or sex, you know, whatever. Just like, you know, just... Basically. Just waiting for that's her. That's her rep, isn't it? Am I right? When you think of her, don't you think of her as an opportunist?
I thought it was a Barbara Boxer.
When you found out it was Gloria Allred.
I don't know enough about her. I hate to leave you.
You know, you're leaving me. You know, you're telling me what I need to hear, but you're saying
I don't know enough about her to make any judgment.
Well, she looked nice.
It was funny that she was sitting with a person who the joke we made up because you know it could have been that it could have been that in a comedic sense. It looked like she was interviewing her stunt double.
Yes, there was a woman sitting with her. Looked exactly like
her. Same suit, and you like, know, almost like same gray pantsuitish. Yeah.
So we made Clinton. A joke. We made a joke that she hired her because you know she knows that people are maybe, you know, maybe she just defended a weird case and people might you know be angry at her or throw things at her. So she has that woman leave the restaurant first, and then they throw things at her, and then she sneaks out the back door. It was funny at the time. So then Wolfgang Puck came out. That was I got a little excited.
That was fun.
He's just walking around the table, and I took a picture. I said to him, I go, I'm not too big to take a picture. Like, who am I not to take a picture? What am I, some big shot? Oh, I don't want to take a picture. It would make me. But most of the time, I won't. But for some reason, then I did.
It's so weird. Like I kind of get how chefs feel because I think like maybe in a sense, that's how comedians feel sometimes, like compared to like other artists, because it is another sort of underappreciated art form. Because he's as big as chefs get, right?
Yeah,
he's as big. What's his name? Not even a joke.
Wolfgang Puck.
Wolfgang Puck was in.
You know
the
what
kitchen.
I'm not crazy about though.
He cooked the meal and it was insane. It was so good. Anyway, and then he came out and he said hi and he took a picture If that was Bruce Springsteen or somebody, like he would be like cooler. He'd be like, all right, let's just you know.
Oh, because you think maybe subconsciously you're right. Maybe you think he might like it a little. Maybe
you think he does. You think well, yeah. Why does he come out? He doesn't have to come out.
Yeah, what's he coming prancing around our table for with a brand new white smock on, looking dazzling?
Yeah, he had some powder on his face.
Oh, I think
yeah,
so.
He had some makeup.
I said I'll airbrush it. Don't worry. He goes. He's very appreciative, and so. Anyway, there was that. Jimmy Pardo next week. What else we did? What else did we do? You were talking about... I don't know if I want to talk about this or not.
Do you want to just break and then we can wait for Andy? Because we're already at almost an hour. He should be here in like 20 minutes. We're going to take a break.
Hold on one second. Let me get one or two things off my mind. This is good. People like this. Dallas. Oh, the woman in Dallas. You think that's worth telling? She called. I knew there was something I wanted to talk about. Remember the woman in the audience that was texting the entire show? The woman that I made fun of?
No, of course I remember. But then, okay, go ahead. But then what's the, do you want to talk about the overall lesson that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
should I skip it? Because there's a part of it you don't know.
Yeah, that she called and but the lawyer?
Yeah.
I knew that.
No, she called Alex today.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay, tell the story. Tell
I
the
could
story.
Tell you were looking at me like, eh,
yeah. I was like, why are you bringing that up? I did not know how far it went.
You know, there's a woman in the audience, and she was texting through my whole show. Whenever I've gotten mad at people, I might have talked about this on the podcast before. I never like to. Sometimes in the heat of anger, you say things like, but even if it's a matter of fact, in the heat of anger, I would never call a heavy person fat, but I would call a thin person fat. It's just any words, you fat pig, or you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel remorseful about. I always think, God, just stick to what they did. When you stick to what they did and you don't go outside the realm of, even if it's an unnecessary discussion, you feel better. I do. When I wake up the next day, I think, okay, I never went there. I would never go to someone's religion if they were wearing a yarmulke. So don't go to their weight. Don't go to anything. Don't go to bitch. Don't go to the meanest thing I said. Maybe I'm pushing it to say that this could, you know, somewhat be even used I was using it in a mean way, but I said, you fuckface.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't I?
Something like that.
Yeah, I said, you know. But mostly I just told her the truth. I the meanest thing I said at one point was like, I don't even know how fuckface came out. But anyway.
You laid into her periodically.
Yeah, but I never said, I never threatened her. I never said, oh, after the show, you fucking, I never, ever. What I mostly did was say, and by the way, I am telling the version of the story. I'm not changing it. If you heard a tape of it, you would never hear me go, you fucking bitch, you C-word, or any of that stuff. I just say, can I tell you the truth? I said the truth. I said, you know what really happens? And I've said this before on stage, and I'm going to repeat it for the audience, because I mean it, and it helps take the other audience members with you. I said, the truth of the matter is, when you see someone texting, a lot of times it might surface as anger, but really what happens is our feelings are hurt. Does someone have a cell phone going off? It surfaces as anger, but truly your feelings are hurt. You see someone texting, you know they're not having a blast at your show. You know you're not taking them outside their problems of their day, and even if it's your fault or it's there, you just know you're not doing it. And I think that's, I don't know with me, I don't know, I could ask other comedians if they feel the same way, but that's what I think. I think there's someone not having a great time. So I just said, that's
right. You said all that to her.
I did say all that to her.
Yes.
And then she kept texting. And then I went, oh, that's when I started to get, you start to get elevated at your anger, because you're like, God, she's not even, I just bared my soul to her. And I have seen people, when you do that, stop it.
Yes.
That shows that they're.
She didn't.
No. So anyway, one thing led to another, and she.
They kicked her out.
No, they didn't kick her out.
Oh, she just left and complained on the way.
She said to the doorman, tell him he's lucky I was in a good mood, or I wouldn't have. Because she couldn't bear to think she left the room and just had to take shit.
Yeah.
Did she take more shit than she deserved? I guess that's up for debate. But the thing is, I didn't ever, she wasn't threatened.
It was
she
also
wasn't
against her nature to admit that she's wrong, because that probably would mean she'd have to do it a lot.
Right.
And a lot of.
And by the way, even if she's right. Think about that. I have to look at that from that perspective. Let's say she's even right. I gave her too much shit. Right about what? It's not like I, threw a cup of water at her or said, I hope you fucking die, or any of those where it gets a little bit, But
there's someone here?
Oh, yeah. That's, my Jesus. This is so cute.
Oh,
Rob. Can someone go let him in?
Okay, so go ahead. Get to the thing. Come on.
Yeah, I'll get to the end real quick. So anyway, I just think she left. And instead of, even if she was right, think about what you're right about. Not right someone, stole your car. Not right someone stole money. Right that she didn't deserve to have me mouth off at her. That's at most what she's right about, and could have been wrong about that. But I'm going to say she's right. She couldn't leave. They do it a lot. They get home, and it just fucking makes them go fucking nuts. That they might just have to go, someone was rude to me last night, and it was a comedian. It's not like it's the waiter at a restaurant who might have to swallow his pride for something like that. It was somebody that is allowed to do that, and it's fucking blue last night. They can't let it go. So what they do is they call the club, and this has happened before. We're going to sue. But they usually let it stop there. They feel good that they just said, we're going to sue. Uh-huh. But then they called the club. The club gave them my manager's number. They called my manager. And my manager called me today. He goes, hey, Todd, 2 minutes ago, I just got off the phone with him. Tell him I had the best. Look, I have a lot of fun on the road at clubs, but I just got done 2 minutes ago saying that was the best week I've ever had, I think, my entire career. I had so much fun. He goes, well, I just got a call that you're being sued. So I told Alex, he's like, nah, don't worry about it. He goes, he didn't care, because there's nothing.
It's not a real thing. Yeah. Wait, well, on what grounds?
Who knows? They don't even know yet. Wait till she tells the lawyer. So even if she said, I will up it. you know, up. Even if he said, you fucking idiot, you fuck, well, where did he threaten you? And I think what happens is people at that time, I would bet I'm pretty much 90% right what would happen in that room with her and a lawyer. It's probably your friend at this point. It always is. You know, a lot of times at that point, they have a friend who's a lawyer. But I bet in the room, if a person realizes, oh, shit, well, like let's say the lawyer's asking hardball questions to know whether it's worth taking.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks she's giving answers that should make that lawyer go, I got a case here. So let's say she goes, he told me to go fuck myself, which I didn't. Let me make it very clear. But I bet this is what goes down in a room. He told me to go fuck myself. And then he's fucking threatened me. How did he threaten you? And then it goes, he told me he'd fuck. They start fibbing a little. Because they realize the lawyer, people can be wrong, but still not dumb. They realize the lawyer says, well, he called you a fucking idiot. He told you to get the fuck out. He called you a whore. He a lot of things that aren't very nice and not very decent. It sounds like a comedian that left the realm of being a wordsmith and certainly just started name calling. Then they start lying. But what happens is when they leave, they realize, well, eventually they lied to the lawyer in the room because they don't want to look like, oh, no, I just got name called. And that's why. So they start fibbing. Oh, he did say he was going to punch me. But then when they get home, they realize, well, do I want to carry on this lie that I made in the room? And that the case gets dropped.
I know how they're going to get you.
How?
She's going to...
Tax embezzlement?
No. She's going to convince the guy to go to trial, and they're going to put you on the stand, and then the lawyer, her attorney's going to text through your testimony.
Oh,
until you snap at him. You motherfucker! Put your phone away! Can't you see him? And then the jury's just going to be in shock. Oh, this guy's a monster.
Yeah, they see me.
They're
going to
bring in a girl from San Francisco, from Davis. She's remember all her hair cape fell out now.
Oh my God.
She can't walk out of the house cuz she yelled at her.
I'm going to have a class action suit against me.
All your hecklers.
Yeah, but you know who bails me out of jail?
Who?
All the waiters and waitresses that I they let them breathe better. All right, so there we got that. Rob, it's good to see you. You got that, you know, the hair's looking good. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with that was crazy. That was all over the place, but that's what we do. All right, everybody, you're all right. Loving the grilled cheese pictures. Loving you. It's all good. These other podcasts are fucking through. When I'm done, there's going to be no more podcasts. This is a podcast goddamn war, and I'm about to release some shit that these other podcasts have been saying about the listeners. It's going to be good shit. I want to get into it. I want to have another podcast, like start having a fake battle. You know, of course, I only want to do it with someone that is in on it. It could be fun. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. All right, I guess we're going to start. We should have started already.
Just remember, I'm staring at you to make you feel self-conscious during the whole thing.
All right, that's how we'll come right back in on that. So you might want to mark that down, Katie. That's when we came back. All right, so I did an hour before you got here, Andy, but I'm so glad you're here because I was ranting and raving. There's a good chance that the audience might never hear a lot of the first part.
All unedited.
Can I play it for you and tell me if
the whole first part?
Yes, to tell me if you think it's interesting.
Can you play it fast?
Wouldn't that be
an Evelyn Wood listening course?
Wouldn't that be the worst thing to do to your audience? Like, let's say you have an audience that likes you, but the opening was boring, and then they go, "That motherfucker played it when Kindler got there."
They're not still around if it was that boring. You know what I mean? They're going, "I wonder if Todd's going to do a bit about how horrible the opening was."
I like it. All right, so by the way, I want to point out one thing. This has nothing to do with anything, but I just I want to get it out of the way. Some things I didn't get to clean up before you got here.
Are they
here.
Sticking in your craw?
Yes, yeah, exactly. I see these people, they have 35,000 tweets, and then they have 15 followers. Like, you could just talk to those people, right? That's that. That's all I got.
Just seems how many tweets?
35,000 tweets. Then I go, followers, 12.
For the
12 people, not 12,000.
For the uninitiated out there, Todd is using the classic exaggeration comedic technique.
No, I'm not. I've seen people. Okay, you're right.
It was 17,500, and there were 860. But 35,002. You know what I'm saying? It's like a bird's heart. If you said a bird's blood pressure. Well, it's like 75. I don't know if this bird's okay. 75 over 1. See? It's a bird. It's going fast but getting slow. Back to you in the booth, Todd.
I don't want the people to have perception I'm in a booth. Andy, you're... Please. Very important. We'll take a break.
Oh, you're in a booth. I've known you for many years.
Andy, don't even say it jokingly because it does hurt. People don't want to think of me in a booth.
It does
hurt. I used to work at a dunking competition. I don't know what that meant. Daniel tried to get on the flight, and the woman, just to make her annoyed, he said he had a condition. He was just sort of like being silly. She goes, "What's your condition?" He goes, "I have to. It's a condition. It's a weird condition. It's a condition where I want to get on the plane early." And she didn't even laugh.
That is
but
good.
The other woman laughed. She cracked up. She knew funny. It's a condition. What's the condition? It's a weird condition.
I don't like to board with other people.
Oh, well, it's you know weird. What? Then you might want to board earlier with a condition like that.
You know what I do, Todd? You know, do what I do, okay?
I always want to do what you do.
Do what I do. I go up, and I say, I got to get on. And the lady goes, why? I say, or the man. I say, look, let's just say I need a little extra time getting down the jetway.
What would they say?
Let's just say I'm one of those guys who needs a little extra time getting down the jetway.
I don't think they would let you on it. At first I did. I thought maybe they wouldn't know how to react to that. You know, like, hey, we have an opening. We knew. I was so excited you were coming, Andy. You know,
It's very hard to get me. Not like I'm doing anything. But I just don't want to leave the house. Not like I'm busy.
Wayne Newton won't leave the house for less than 50 grand.
I don't get on the phone unless I have a cashier's check. I don't answer phone one. I don't go to door two. I don't climb into car three unless I'm first class, business class on three cabins. I did that once. Business class on three cabins for a state college.
Man, you know what cracks me up about that? You know, that all comes from somewhere. Like, we've all heard that person, like, puffing up, like, really? I won't even go out. Bobby Collins, I think I heard him a year ago going, I won't even leave the house for $10,000. I remember thinking, well, there's no way you can be leaving.
Because he stays in a lot.
You stay, and that's
well,
sort of
I used
right
to
back.
Have that joke because Margaret Cho once told me.
Hey, don't mention her name.
Okay.
Not on this show. No, I'm kidding. I say that about everybody. It's a running joke.
Ms. C. Shouldn't a running joke get a laugh? Now, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back right after this. That was Andy Kindler giving a real dig to me. We'll be back. No, that's not. That's not. That's not a be right back. That was for the bit. Just bear with me here for 1 second, okay, Andy?
I shouldn't say anything.
No, you should. We were going to do a bit where I said, I bet if you set up down at the pier,
okay,
you know, like a street performer, and you had a PA system and a computer, and you were just good at finding songs, and the only thing you had to spend money on, by the way, I'm actually serious about this. No, I would never do this. But tell me if you think this would, if you had to guess whether this would be, yeah, as stupid as it is, it would probably draw a big group of people. You set up a PA, and then there's a sign that says, the music I'm playing accompanies somebody, guess who they are. So then if a cop walks by on the pier, you play that song. Or, if you know, maybe you play, whatever. So we picked a few songs. Like, and that would be if a cop walks by.
To make fun of the people.
Like, let's say you had the song. And then people would look at it. Or if you see a black and a white guy on a black girl and a white guy on a bike or whatever. Right. And you play Ebony and.
Yeah,
and
if this was 1972, you would.
So anyway, we knew you were coming, so we wanted to do an opening song. We usually have a guy, his name is Lenny, does jingles, but this week he wanted to do something. Can you play that music for him? And this is to welcome you here. It might seem cheesy, but you know what, Andy? This show is not like the other shows. That's why we're fucking doing the ratings we're doing. These other shows can suck my dick.
Are you really doing have a good ratings?
No, they're okay, but I'm kidding in that stuff, that okay, I would be that aggressive towards other.
You are kidding, the second part of it.
Wait, which part?
Both parts are not lies.
I'm confused now. The ratings are good, but I'm joking on my aggressiveness. I think it's funny, and I said this before you got here, to aggressively take on other podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that necessary? These fucking podcasts. Like when Stern did it to DiBella. These fucking. Yeah, they're fucking done. Even the movie theaters I'm going to shut down. People don't need to go out to movies. Shut the fuck up.
They're done.
Yeah, they're done. Everyone's done.
Hey, KABC, you're done. Oh, actually, they really are done.
Yeah, well, they would be done even if they weren't.
Yeah.
Go, why don't you sing a nice song for Andy? I feel like I have a puppet act. Just sing into the mic so he can hear you. Sing into the mic and give him a lot of echo. Thank you.
It's almost impossible to avoid being in rhythm in the song.
I could.
That was accomplished.
Started from the beginning.
In the studio. A song that has nothing but rhythm. Has nothing going for it. A horrible song that us Jews have had to suffer with for millions of years. Like all the Jewish music. Or if it's not that, it's... For those people who like quarter notes, if those people don't like who don't like a regular note, they want to hear something slid down.
What? The pizza's here?
With Jews, you never know if we're going to be in tune.
When we come back, we're going to hear more of Andy's songs, and I'd like to join you with one of those Jewish songs. I think we can actually
make
it sound
good. Let's chew it up after after these messages from
commercial?
Christian Mingle.
There you go. That's the way you fucking throw the commercial.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, standing in the air. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. You give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what the showman said. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every roll you throw will make me rich. There stands me wife, the idol of me life.
I've got the lovely bunch of... We're back on.
Oh!
It's all right. It's all good.
I'm sorry, Todd. I was at a meeting.
Meeting? You were?
Yeah, I was at a meeting of my app. It was an app convention.
We don't take when we take breaks. We go right back. So give me some more of the Jewish music.
Hold on one second.
He always needs echo with this Jewish music because they do put a lot of reverb in it. That's not that far off, is it?
My problem. I can't do impressions. We do an impression, then you have me take an hour break and go, pick up that impression you were doing before of the old cantor who lives in...
I like to do
the
that.
The cantor.
It was good enough cantor. For me.
The reform cantor who got his start in Istanbul. This is my new... I'm taking a workshop. You just say places and names and you hope to...
Be specific.
I think your impersonation is close enough that if somebody, if you said, well, what's it like? And you did that. I'm being serious. That if they went to a synagogue, they would go, oh, Andy was like pretty close.
Oh, I'm not saying what I do isn't dead on. But the thing was, that rendition, that horrible Hava Nagila, I think it was Hava Nagila the song? It's always the song.
Mm-hmm. Hava Nagila.
When people want to slam.
What does
Jews.
That mean?
Hava Nagila.
Have a.
Merry Christmas.
It means his name is Gila. Her name was Gila, their name is Gila, everyone's name Gila.
No.
I like
is that true?
No.
Hava.
You really think Hava, it's no. his name was Gila?
Yeah.
That's how horrible Hebrew is?
It could be.
Could be.
And that's what they would say about, I have a pain in my side. I haven't been feeling well. I'm having trouble sleeping. I heard you've got trouble too.
The odds are they could be that.
It could be
well,
that.
You know, that's how Jewish people might complain. I've had trouble.
My
sleep.
Mother had diabetes. My sister had troubles with her back. So the point, my point before was that the only thing Hold about on. This song is rhythm. If you're going to enjoy anything about it, it's that you go ching. And the fact that it was that there was no even attempt to connect the song.
Let me
with
try.
The
Can I try?
You can.
Can you try? Do my name. No, I'll, that oh. seems conceited. I'll do your name.
Sing a song about with Todd as the subject, and I'll use it. We'll make it into a sting, and I'll use it when I go terrestrial. I'm meeting with a terrestrial guy next week. I'm taking over for Jim Robe, just in Lubbock.
Oh, what a life! What would my be life?
I mean, you're in the jungle.
That's the job I get, and I take it. Oh,
yeah,
and
you're come, the
and
then when,
and you're doing a like something. You're going through there,
yeah, Jim.
On the way to, yeah,
I know you know nothing about sports, but they just so you oh, just have I to did, say the oh. whole thing.
Are you serious?
What?
Everyone thinks you know about sports. Everybody keeps telling me that Todd Glass is one sports chunk from being the best comic of all time.
Hey, do you know a lot about sports? I feel like I'm the only
I
one.
I happen to.
Am I the
do
only?
You really?
I know I'm a big sports fan, but I'm not an expert. I just love the things I love, and like teams from 19. Like I love Matt Snell,
do you mind if I quiz
from 1969.
What did you just
say?
Quiz me. I'm sorry. I think I just walked over a joke.
No, that it's a subliminal joke. It's my new subliminal series.
But you don't watch like current games.
No,
you
know, I do. I do.
You
do. I love
Sunday.
Huge.
You watch football.
I watched the Stanford. I thought the Stanford game was fantastic.
You did
last night. Stanford with Andrew. Andrew, come on, somebody help me. Bird, that can't be right. Who's
Jackson?
Luck. Who's Andrew Bird? It doesn't seem
Andrew.
Right.
Andrew. Oh,
I just thought of something.
Norelli?
Remember? Hold
Andrew
on.
Luck.
I want to get off this conversation of sports because it's killing me.
But you have a lot of sports demographics.
No, they don't. No one listens to sports.
Oh. Or to you while listening to sports.
I don't. I get
sports.
You know what it's like to have no input on something and have to hear people
did
talk
about
it.
Did you play sports?
Stop calling it sports.
Sports.
Andy,
is there pussy in here? It smells like pussy in here. I think.
That's that was Paul Lynn.
Paul Lynn. No, I was trying to take credit for it. Watch your fucking mouth.
Did you play sports in high school?
Oh, jeez.
It would make no sense if it was yours. Does All-American sound right? I mean,
sounds about right.
But it sounds good. No, no, because very quickly I was – well, first I was 4'10 in high school.
Seriously?
Yeah, I sprouted to 5'5.5 throughout high school. When I was a small child and it was like, you know, one guy was 1.5 and I was 1.75 – I could compete. I think I'm athletic.
You look athletic. Come on. I don't want to talk about sports.
I sit very well.
If there's nothing I get to do on this show, it's steer the conversation away from sports.
Okay.
You know what it is? It's not even... let me just...
How about Hi-Li? Show me Hi-Li.
What's that?
That's a sport. I'm watching Mad Men, and I'm not giving... not a spoiler alert, but they do talk about Hi-Li at one point.
Remember you were talking about before about how when the song parodies were out, it didn't matter really if they had a rhyme or
not. Yeah.
Well, this is actually, oddly enough, something I had on my sheet to talk about for whatever the reason. I saw a truck that said close-minded. Now, we just...
What do you mean? A bumper sticker?
No, it was a truck on the side of a truck. It's the name of a business. So I right away thought, is this a close... It's probably a closed store. He YouTubed it before the show. I go, YouTube close-minded. I think I was in Dallas when I saw it. Close-minded.
Not closed.
She changed it.
She changed it to clothes.
Closed-minded.
I like that.
Right. And I thought...
I like it.
Do you really?
Not really.
Yeah, you shouldn't. There's no reason except for the fact that it fit. It represents everything wrong.
I get my hair cut a hair today.
Right. Well, that at least isn't
hair
negative.
Today.
That's not
but
negative.
But that's not negative, though.
What close-minded is not negative?
Well, you mean that it rhymes with something negative.
Oh, clothes. No.
It's a parody.
They're turning it around, though. They're turning.
Yeah, they're turning
around.
It's
my new podcast voice.
Oh, now I'm getting nervous here. Hold on. What's your new podcast voice?
Hi, Andy Kindler, comedian. How are you?
Everything's going to be all right.
65 degrees downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, you really go mellower.
Yeah. And I could give out the degrees if you wanted them.
I wish we had the weather jingle. We
but
have one for Katie.
Do you really think she was aiming at the joke at the angle that, hey, we're like hateful people, but about clothes and giant? You know,
I think Todd's just saying, don't go there.
I don't.
Girlfriend.
In a silly
way. You had
him
right until girlfriend.
I did. I think Todd's just saying, don't go there. And I go, yes, girlfriend. Wait, not the last part.
But
okay,
you know what would be worse?
Don't point
clothe
at me.
There, girlfriend. That would be the worst name for a clothing store. Don't clothe there, girlfriend. Don't clothe yourself there, girlfriend.
That's not any. Hold on. I can't believe Daniel. It is parodying close-minded. So why would you want to parody anything? You might go, well, it's just of something that's like, what do they go? We have a nice, like, would they say something like, oh, over there, would you like a nice pantsuit? It would make a nice Auschwitz.
Right.
Hello.
The atomic bomb dropped on here, clothe Shima.
Right, exactly.
Would be a worse one.
Thank you. That's why I brought it up, because I knew that, first of all, Rob would like it. Rob's a good laugher.
Napalm.
Resort.
Clothing.
Right, Napalm Resort. You know,
My family got napalmed. All I got was this clothing. No?
I like it.
Too long.
I don't like anything where you, like, we talked about before that the Kardashians named their dog Louis Vuitton. And I, growing up.
That's hilarious. Is one name Louis and the other name's Vuitton?
I think so.
There's two dogs.
Yes, I think.
Then it's great.
Louis and Vuitton. And I was saying, someone's loving it.
Right. You know, I have two dogs, Gulche and Gabbana, as they're very well behaved. Have you heard about my niece and nephew?
What are their names?
I can't think of an example.
Come on.
Fisher and Price?
I'll give you no. No one does it with kids. Give your kids funny names.
I just fake laughed loud. That's the guy who's always in my audience when I'm around.
Why does he do that? Wait, that could be me, actually.
Stop it, Uncle Vinny.
Wait, don't you think sometimes the person laughing like that is really having a good time?
That's my voiceover reel.
You do voiceovers?
I do a lot of auditions.
You mind auditioning for me right now for the show? I'm serious.
What do you mean? Well, like for the voice?
We can make pretend you're coming.
You're listening
in.
To Joel Glash.
Is that how you do my promos?
Yes. Come on. Come right back. Come on, Charles. You're going to be right back.
If I was... Oh.
If you're smarter than a fifth grader, then you're not listening to the Tall Glass Show. I think that's my Adam Sandler voice. That's my Adam Sandler voice.
Are there any shows on right now? I'm going to ask you. It could be a stereotypical question, but are there any shows on now? Okay. You know how you want the people that you respect their opinion to like what you like? Like, I don't want to lob out a show and you hate it, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Because I just saw it for the first time. It's weird. It's one of those shows that's been on. Everyone says good stuff about it. Watched it Saturday night, and I fell in love with it.
Okay.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I've only seen a few of those.
I don't like it either. It's too short.
It's too...
Doesn't even make sense.
I don't understand that. There's a lot of yelling.
Oh, so it's not one of your favorite shows.
There's a lot of blue language.
Yeah, that's what
I don't enjoy the blue language. That's why I stick to network.
That's you never liked the blue language.
That's why I turned down a role in Avatar. I didn't want to go blue. That's right for my act, folks. Every once in a while, I'll do a line for my act. Just to let you know, if you're interested beyond this podcast I do. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not all ad libs. Sometimes you got to take a seasoned piece of material and throw it in there.
That's why sometimes in the middle of my act, I'll go into a monologue from A Hat Full of Rain.
I don't even know what that means.
The Hat Full of Rain is like a monologue that you would do 40 years ago as an actor, because it's about a play about heroin. I'm on heroin, Ma! Something like that.
We would do it not into the mic, because that would always sound like...
I'm on heroin!
I got to play something for you. Now, we know comedians that do this, but this guy is singing, and he is enjoying the fuck out of his jokes before he hits the song.
Oh, God.
I got to play it for you.
You have it right now?
Yeah, I have it right now. Okay. So he is these... Now,
where'd you get this from?
I found it online. Okay. I found it online. But it's real.
Rights clearance!
Rights clearance! So...
Legal!
What I love about it was... I actually sometimes get into these conversations with my family that's not in stand-up. And I remember years ago having the conversations, the difference between making something seem spontaneous, but you don't have to fake laugh at it.
Yeah.
You can do the joke every night.
You should never fake laugh.
Right.
Unless it was my classic I did before.
What was that?
That guy's gold.
So this is an entertainer thinking you can tell the jokes, and if they're funny, the audience will laugh. No one's going to come back a week later and go, he's doing the same joke. They'll go, he's doing the same joke, the singer, and he's laughing at it. Like let the audience laugh, and you just tell the joke and leave it there, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is this entertainer, and this guy's having the best fucking time of his life. He's told these jokes before, but he can't even get them out.
This song has a message.
I hope this is enjoyable for you.
Who does your hair, GE?
He's talking to the audience.
Hair, GE? I don't get that.
Stick it up in the air.
Same to you. We need a little bit of hand clapping. Actually, we need a little bit of money. I need a little bit of sex. I can get it on Thursday afternoons between 3 and 3:15. That's 3:15 seconds.
Either way, you're looking.
You know, my ex tried to squeeze me into sex the other night. She gave me an hour. We didn't know what to do with the other 59 minutes. That's okay.
I just did that.
She shut me off to once a month.
This is Rodney's.
And I'm not pissed. I know 6 guys she cut out altogether.
Yeah, the song is I even started.
So you'll get
That's
even,
the
right?
Part of that.
What?
The song
I
even
started.
But she
said I can have sex just anytime I want. Pattern. I said, all right, right now. She says, good. And she left the room.
All right, fade out.
Is there a video for that?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, there is
How'd
a video
How'd you discover
for that?
That?
I just go around YouTube just looking for stuff. Like, and for some reason, that's not what I was looking for. But then when I heard it, I was like, oh, my God. That's just – and I thought that's what drives me – He's like, he can't even get the joke out. I have an idea for a show, Camping with Todd. You want to buy it?
I like that.
Isn't it a good idea?
Yeah, Campy.
Can't be with Andy.
Can't be with Todd. Can't be with Andy. Now it's my idea. You're cut out.
Wait,
no.
Whoa.
We're selling him the idea.
Guest hosted by Todd Glass.
We're still executive producers.
How did I get knocked out of this, Andy?
Take it to Fuse.
You said sold.
I know someone at Fuse.
Who's Fuse?
You said sell it to him.
No, I want the show. Camping with Andy. I'll give it to you right now. Let me ask you a question.
He won't give it to me.
You want to bet? Listen.
Don't you do the poor man's copyright? Don't you mail stuff to yourself?
I love people love telling that. You want to know how
would you
copy?
Would you host a show like that? A network came into you, and it is like a Fuse or Clue, right. The new network. They go,
is
Andy
it the
Kindler,
new network called Clue?
Clue. It's all Law and Order reruns.
Oh my God, where can you see those? That's a good thing. I'm often said to myself, where can I get more Law and Order? Why don't I see enough Law and Order? Why is TNT going away from the Law and Order? Where can I go now?
I can't find it anywhere.
Bing, bang, boom.
He likes in Law and Order that I can't stand the guy's technique.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
That guy, he's a method act. He's like, hey, let me talk to you for a second there.
He might be a great actor, and I'm serious.
He might be.
He might be. No, I mean, I don't know, like, outside of that. There's sometimes actors, then later they do something, you're like, shit, who would have thought they had it in them, you know?
Right.
But it might be a style they wanted him to do, and he takes a check. If he was the nicest guy in the world, I would feel bad for saying this. I'm not like you, Andy. He just goes off the hook and kills people's spirits. I try to go in slowly before I stab somebody in their stomach.
You know, Robin Williams is actually quiet between takes. I just read that again somewhere. So,
great. Great. Whenever I hear something like that,
he's very shy.
Well, good.
Well, why is he fucking shy when he's talking in his act? Doesn't he bring it down there? Oh, there he has to act like an idiot?
He's so shy.
When the camera's not on him, he's actually a very nice, reasonable human being who talks like a person.
His comedy is very subtle.
Yeah,
when
very
he's
subtle. Very subtle comedy when the camera's on him.
What were we just
Well, that's too bad, isn't it?
He's very...
I'm sorry.
Andy, would you take a job like that? Every week you have to go camping with a reality star, the Kardashian.
Hold on.
Don't change the idea. Don't poison the idea.
Yeah, he just poisoned it.
I know.
If you could have a show, go camping.
Fuse?
Go camp what?
It has to be Fuse. Nothing below Fuse.
I thought you said dudes.
Dudes? It can't be
Fuse. Camping with dudes.
Nothing on Stars.
Would you take Camping with Dudes?
I would take Camping with Dudes to the next level. That's what I would do.
No, would you take
Camping
the show
with Dudes and then some?
If it was, what's the then some?
You know, like every afternoon we camp at night. Every afternoon we put on a show.
So listen, it's
canoe. That's a very Jewish part too. New canoe, and then we all laugh like that guy in the thing we just heard.
All right. Everything's good. I want you to be comfortable at all times.
I make a nice living.
You make.
Ask me if I'm comfortable.
No, Andy, are you comfortable over there in that chair?
I used to make a nice living before the economy tanked, and now things aren't going so well.
Andy, that reminds. Look, not everyone.
I was going to buy a house, but I don't have the money.
Not everybody on this.
I was comfortable until the money became very tight because my act doesn't seem to go over.
Nobody on my podcast might have ever heard this, but tell, or I don't even mind if you don't want to do it. I'll tell it. How much you like that joke that you go to the mattress store?
Yeah, I go to Sit and Sleep.
And what happens?
I go early in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I pack a lunch, which makes any story funnier. Let me just say something. I pack a lunch.
Okay.
And I sit in the various chairs that Sit and Sleep. And whatever it is, you got your upright Lewitt's. And I say, they said, do you like the chair? I said, I very much enjoy the chair. Would you like to buy it? I feel very good. I wait until they ask me.
And this
me,
goes on for like this, 3 hours.
I don't care if it goes on 4 hours, 5 hours. I'm just waiting for them to ask me if I'm comfortable so I can say I make a nice living.
So finally, after 4.5 hours, the guy goes, excuse me, sir, is that comfortable? Are you comfortable?
I make it up after all. Well, I don't even remember.
Are you comfortable?
I make a nice living.
And you go, that's how much I like that joke. Which is just fucking great to think that someone would like that joke that much that they go to their wife. Honey, I'm going to go over to the mattress store. Some days it happens in 20 seconds.
You never know. You can't go.
6 hours, he comes back home. She's like, are you fucking shitting me, Henry? Well, that's how long it took him to ask me. He's like, I'm not stopping.
You can make a whole day out of it. Just go to different places.
Different mattress stores.
Or just different places they would ask you that. A masseuse or...
I don't want this to be an expose show. But you know how that mattress store racket works?
Mm-hmm.
You know how it works?
Are you serious?
Not really. But they always have a brand that they have it there. You go get a lower price on a Sealy .2 number 3 silver edition mattress. They don't have the same exact mattress at another store.
You know there's
right?
Well, you know
but
there's
people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, man. It's the mattresses. Building 7. The mattresses. Building 7.
The safest issues in the world. You have no cause on stage, but you love these mattresses. You don't want to hear
mattresses.
It.
Mattresses. Third gunman in the bushes. Grassy knoll. Not so grassy that a guy couldn't escape through it.
These mattress stores, that's right. That's what they're fucking doing. To bring you down. You know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you that for every year you have a mattress, it gets a pound of skin fat.
What do they
tell
you?
Is that true?
No, what do they tell you? They tell you that your mattress, at 10 years, it gets heavier because there's flesh in it. Like, it gets heavier because it picks up your body.
The only part I hear are, it's free!
Yeah.
It's free!
Yeah, if we can't... Jimmy Dore has a funny bit about that, actually. He goes, if we can't meet your advertised... It's free. He goes, well, who's not going to meet it?
Right.
Who's going to go, sorry, we just in good conscience can't go any lower. So we're going
to
give it to you.
I had the same joke, but I had, who's that guy? That's how I added to it. who's that guy who would do that?
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy?
What is the worst joke you ever told that you can remember?
I have told...
you remember like a bit or a style you went through?
I said I think I said I could beat up any woman in the crowd. That's pretty bad.
did you really say that?
Yeah. I did say it because I said it off the top of my head one night. And I'm a small, short guy. So I thought it was funny until someone said to me, it's probably the hackiest joke in the world.
Who told you that? Do you remember?
John Novotny told me that.
Is that true?
Yeah, it really is true.
It helps to have a friend even later in your career that will tell you. Sometimes I work with Daniel. We have to remind each other, like, if I have a joke, I get lazy. Tell me.
Yeah.
Because we all know someone we really respect. But then you think, you see one joke, you go, ugh. But that's because they don't have someone.
I would be sickened, though, if I felt that could happen again, that I could write jokes that bad that I wrote when I was first starting.
I get lazy with, like, what do I get lazy with? I don't know. I'll just be a topic and I'll do it.
I used to have a New York-style pizza joke. I ordered New York-style pizza. The guy comes to the door, open the door, he goes, here's your fucking pizza. I said, that is New York style.
Shut up.
Yeah, that is my butt.
Did you really do that?
Yeah.
But you did it tongue in cheek.
No, I thought, as I first wrote it, I thought it was a real
When did
joke.
You first write?
1987.
Oh, I thought you meant like in 2011.
No, I'm talking about, you said my horrible jokes.
Yes.
Did you really think... I'm going to ask him. I hope he doesn't actually tell me the terrible
jokes. No. I wouldn't do that unless I would tell you something. Like, I went through a phase where it was worse. I mean, I would never ask someone to bear their soul.
My sister still defends that joke. Oh, that's a good joke.
Your family. Why don't you bring back? My family still yells at me that I dropped Sweet Caroline out of my act. I go, you don't understand. I had to drop it out.
But that was a performance piece, though.
Well, you're right.
You're funny, whatever you do.
It was avant-garde.
You are very good.
No, go.
It's not what you do. It's how you do.
Thank you. We'll take a break.
My thing was different.
No, we won't. But no, I went through one phase where I couldn't stop doing Paul Reiser.
Okay.
And I would just, you know, because the thing is, everybody always says, have a good day. You know, it's like, when is it your day? Everyone always says, it's not my day. When is it? I wouldn't do his jokes, but I would
the same rhythm.
I would go, when is it your day? You know, when would anyone come up to you? You know, you win $1 million and it's my day. It must be my day. And I could do that.
Did you see his last show on NBC? Apparently, he stopped doing Paul Reiser.
when I first
I didn't see the show. What was the show?
It was him and a thing, and he's upset. And
he calls into the show.
But let me say this about it.
Well, you know, I figured out.
This is feeling bad.
What?
Us going over our early material like this.
Yeah, let's edit it out. Yeah. By the way, I was just kidding. I just wanted to see what you guys had. The worst thing I ever did was not do a political joke. I think I did it a day later. I did it a day too long.
I used to do an H. Ross Perot impression last year, though, unfortunately.
Oh, that's not
so good. That was, you know, I was a little late to that party.
You know what he asked me before we went started the podcast? He asked me, he goes, Todd, did you ever do John Wayne in your act, like, ever? I go, no.
Did Wayne? You had to do Wayne when I first started.
Oh, you did? I did it when I first started. I totally admit it now. Oh, when I first started. No, I would only do, I'm happy to do outdated impersonations as a joke, but I would never do
them
in my
act. Well, Rick Moranis, he's the one who had the best.
He did John Wayne?
Yeah, when he was he did that a character who was Skip Bittman. He was the younger brother of Bobby Bittman, who was the hack comic on SCTV.
Oh, that's right.
So he came out and he would say, so his bit was, he goes on network TV and he records himself with a reel-to-reel, like on network TV. So they get in the big argument. You're not supposed to record when you're doing a network spot. I always record. But he did John Wayne. He specifically goes, I'm going to do John Wayne as the president. I'm the president. That was the whole thing.
And that was it? Oh, that's like right up my...
So that was the last time.
I'm the president. All right.
I think we've brought everybody down with your insistence that we only talk about our early material was horrible.
What are some of the shows that are on right now that you love?
Modern Family.
Modern Family.
I think is very funny. My favorite new show is Enlightened.
I never... Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I have this DJ voice for it.
I just like to know.
It's on HBO. It's really hilarious. Laura Dern and Mike White, and it's fantastic.
Oh, do you... All right, I feel like I'm asking
and then
dumb questions.
Keenan Ivory Wayan, Merchant Wayan movies. Merchant Ivory Wayan movies. Merchant Wayan Ivories. I like Back to India.
What a,
Lord of the Rings Part 2.
Would you, have you ever camped?
You kidding me? I used to go to summer camp, unfortunately.
He's shooting a pilot next week where he's like doing a camping thing with
yeah.
the
guy. That's my show. I just told you two about it.
I'm doing that show.
No, I'm producing it.
You're not doing
it.
A camping show, are you?
I didn't tell you.
Oh,
are
shut
you
up.
Kidding me?
Todd.
Guys, we have this on tape.
Todd, this is on Variety.
Come on.
A couple of weeks ago. That Andy Kindler's doing a camping show.
Are you two in cahoots together?
No.
What?
I just got hired as like a consultant.
It's
I don't
totally
know
off the...
No, you guys back yeah, me here. Did no. you guys hear me talk about it a minute ago?
No.
Katie, are you fucking shitting me?
No.
You didn't hear me a minute ago to say to Andy...
No, I read about it in Variety.
Is this a bit from vaudeville we're doing now?
We're the bailouts.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-da-bum. Bang!
Listen, let's take a deep breath.
Welcome to the first episode of Camping with Andy. Today on the thing, I'll be with Mark McGrath, Sugar Ray.
Are you
also
going,
camping with me, Andy Rooney.
Andy, can I ask you a personal question?
He's dead?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to enjoy the trip.
Go ahead, ask
him. I have a personal question. Are you going to be on TV anytime soon?
Yeah, but I was thinking, who's that woman that was like the... today on the camping, Dr. Sally Jesse Ryan.
Oh, you have like... They make you pick the weirdest electric group. And she wears her yeah. red glasses because the producers
and
get them.
And Brooke Burke from Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, can you imagine that? Like, but you know what? Think about it.
Andy Kindler, Hulk Hogan.
and how are we looking with time here? How long have we done this?
We're 40 minutes now.
We're 40 minutes. Can we put a clock over here so I can see?
No.
The real...
I emotionally checked out about it.
Believe me too. This show is fucking...
I have a call
I'm done with this show.
I have a callback later on.
You
callback.
Get a, yeah, this time
for Nestle's. For Nestle's.
What yeah. is it?
It's a callback. I can't say what it is.
Well, why'd you bring
I'm
it up?
I'm on a Vals. I'm on a Vals.
Why'd you bring it up?
Well, because they want me to go back in and just do one more line about the chocolate.
You're such a rebel, but you're going to go back in. I'm okay. I don't
Let's
give a
put
shit.
Put it down wild.
I found out I didn't used to want to go. I know we're all over the place.
I have a snowball mic. That's all I'm saying.
Hold on. Stop.
I'm sorry.
Serious.
I apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize.
No, but
we were talking about the camping show.
Right.
And what I was saying was I would rather if I had like, you know, when you have a show where you're just doing a show in a studio and you have to interview people, the ones you care about, that's fun. You get to have Fred Willard out there. You know, obviously that's great. But Letterman and all these guys, their hard work comes in when you got some fucking idiot next to you. You don't give a shit about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And they don't even try. That's when it's fucking hard. Doing a talk show is not one of those shows I say I think I could do a better job. I look at most of the good ones and go, God bless them, because that's fucking hard. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Even. Wait, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. But if I had to do it with those people camping, that'd be a little easier.
That'd be better. What's Sally Jesse? Sally, what'd you catch in the river, Sally Jesse? Did you lose your glasses in the river, Sally Jesse? Dr. Ruth, I told you. Now don't go swimming alone.
Who else is on the show? I can't even think of anyone who's going to try to do this.
The blue-eyed... I'm so excited today. We have from Star Search, the blue-eyed patrol, the blue-eyed soul guy. Come on. Who's the guy one that no one ever heard of afterwards?
Sinbad.
No, the white blue-eyed soul guy.
This week on Camping with Andy, 2011 Blue Man Group.
Cleveland, 2011 Midwest Regional Blue Man Group.
This week on Camping with Andy, the Glee cast from Broadway.
I don't know. I couldn't. Off Broadway.
The Glee class from Wilmington, Nevada.
And guest part-time chef who will teach us how to cook a trout in a canoe.
With just a rock.
With just a rock and not a trout.
and a carp.
And the mistrashki.
How you can make a trout soup with
chicken broth.
With chicken broth.
And don't forget about creature close-up with our resident nature guru, Sam Riverbottom, and he'll show us some of our little friends. What do you got in the show, Sam? I got a chameleon.
are you going to be on TV soon?
Yeah, I am. I have a. Oh, I mean, what am I not going to be on?
Back on point. I got questions.
Oh, back.
No. Oh. I'm asking him.
Oh,
he's got questions. I don't know if he goes. Should I ask these? And I think they're all questions I want to know. But I'm always afraid to ask like friends questions that are like
it's
maybe.
Not nice. It's not acceptable.
When are you going to be on TV?
I'm going to be on a show called Bob's Burgers, which is an animated show on
Fox.
Sure. I play the role of Mort, the mortician.
Oh, I like it.
And
thank you.
The thing I like about it is how well I sell it. No, it's really funny.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Why would I lie?
I don't know if you. Why would you like it?
It's J.H. John Benjamin's on it, and
Dan
Kristen
Mintz.
Schaal and Dan Mintz is fantastic, and Eugene Merman.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
Very funny. Yeah. Lauren Bouchard invented it or created it. What do they say? I don't know the show business terms.
Hey, by the way, just because you didn't go off on, what's the name of it again?
Bob's Burgers.
I like it. There's a lot of great people in that.
It's fantastic. And everything about what's happening with my career is fantastic. I've made my rent 3 months in a row.
That's good. Hey, I get 75,000 downloads a week. Don't think this fucking show ain't helping your
show. Easy.
No. I know you're
this
big shot over there. You got a real show. Let me tell you something.
Really?
This show, this fucking show, you don't think it's I'm bringing in the...
Is this going to help me at the Spaghetti Works in Omaha?
You plug any of your date, I guarantee you.
Do you have dates coming up?
I'm going to be at the... Do you go into Canada, or is that doesn't go... Mm-hmm. The signal doesn't go that far?
No, I go to Canada.
The signal?
Yeah. You are. What? How many watts you pushing out here?
Oh, at least 65.
65 watts?
Million.
Is it the... But I heard it's compact fluorescent.
Well, it used to be, but now we got digital iBone.
It's high watts. Oh, there's a lot of watts. It's compact. Fluorescent.
Why
this
did
me, Gilbert
why the, why the news think it was so necessary to tell us it was going high def? It took me literally a year of hearing that to go, who gives a fucking fucky fuck?
Right.
Who the
old
fuck?
People.
What the fuck?
Because you have a 19-inch Sylvania at home.
I have the old rounded front.
Yeah, you have a
Zenith.
You've been upset since they got rid of consoles.
Yeah, I got it. Luckily, I can say that I'm not that old where we didn't have a console TV.
Comedy bar in Toronto.
Comedy bar. You're going to have the best time there.
I know. I've been there once before. I know you were there.
I did. They were nice.
That's the best
great
room.
Place.
Yeah, it's simple, but it's everything that's perfect about comedy. I love it there.
20th, 21st, and the 22nd.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. What do you make?
What do I make up there? I make what I do is I make all door, and I go 10,000. Look, I go 10,000 a night, a show, a night.
Well, you want to see
shows.
Which I'm reacted to?
Yeah.
A show?
Plus labor and parts.
Oh, you get more.
I don't get in the plane. I don't get in the plane unless I'm going to bring home $50,000, $60,000. Plus T-shirts, plus ancillary rights.
Oh, you have merch?
Merchandise, ancillary.
Merch.
No, but I sell ancillary rights.
Merch.
I sell ancillary rights.
I love your work. I love the summit. Can I ask you,
what happened to me?
Andy, that used to be my big fear.
What, that you'd be on a show like that?
That I would always try to keep, funny and current. I wouldn't want people to go, whatever happened to Todd
Glass?
What
happened to Andy Kindler?
Is this the worst? Is Andy funny or is Todd funny? And this is, you know what this means? You were funny, but then it got dated, and then they liked you anyway because you were a good guy. And at one point, even with all the respect they have for you, they say this. The pause is because they hate to say it, but they can't lie. Is Todd Glass funny? Todd Glass. Todd, he used to be funny.
Yeah. I
want
to.
No,
that, you don't want to hear that.
That'll never happen. Because I will kill myself before it does. Are they saying that out there, Andy?
No.
Andy, you got to tell me.
Tom,
you're a friend.
Not about you.
Andy?
I've heard that you're losing your grip.
Is that like a comedic way? Like, again, I'm not doing good anymore? What does it mean that I'm losing my grip?
Look, people say for all intents and purposes, it's the same Todd Glass.
Well, that seems like it would follow up after.
As far as you're concerned.
Yeah, as far as.
That means something bad is happening up to that point. That's the end. For the sake, what do we come on?
Let's just say for the sake of argument, Todd Glass is still a working performer.
You write a lot of songs. Did you? I'm trying to figure out wrote this song.
I might have written it.
Let me hear it.
There was an old farmer who lived on a rock. He sat in the meadow just shaking his fist at some boys who were down by the creek. Their feet in the water, their hands on their marbles.
Did you write that?
Oh, I love the way this is twist.
There came a
young lady. She looked like a pretty young creature.
Oh, every time.
Is it great?
It can be every time.
Listen, they do it once more, I think.
Her ruffles and laces and white fluffy duck. She said she was learning a new way to bring up her children.
Oh, they did it again.
So they would not
they ended with a bad
while
thing.
The boys in the barnyard were shoveling refuse and litter from
did you write
yesterday's
this?
I did write this.
While the girls did? You wrote it?
Oh,
yes.
We've played this for every guest, yes. And you're the first person that admits you wrote it.
I wrote it. It was a big hit for me when I was in the...
What year was that?
Well, I wrote two songs. I wrote Shut Up or Your Face, which
can
was
you
a
get
big
Shut
hit.
Up or Your Face?
It was a big hit for me. And, I,
and
this
when
was
did
my
you
follow-
write Shut Up Your Face?
This was in about 1980, in the 1980s.
I never knew that was you.
Shut Up or Your Face. Can What's I- the matter, you? Don't show me no respect.
I know the song. Who doesn't?
First hit.
You
first
wrote
hit.
This.
I wrote this. I still me singing, too.
When I was a boy,
They don't write like this anymore because it's religious.
Well, you don't. You stop writing. That's what they
yeah.
don't do.
I was barred by the court.
Always shoot the pool, Giuseppe.
I actually like this. Let this play because people are enjoying it.
But to make me sick of the thing I gotta do.
What was happening in the country that this was fun to somebody?
I can't wait till it says shut up your face. It's my favorite part. Crank it up a little.
That's a feeling like a fool. That's right. Mama used to
oh. What is this, the extended version?
Hey, no respect. What do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's a not so bad. It's a nicer place. I shut up for your face.
Oh. If this song does not have the word a pizza pie in it, I will kill myself.
All right, baby. What's the matter with you?
Why no respect? Shut up in your face.
I like it.
I said shut your mouth was the original words.
And
then
happened?
My partner.
Who was your partner?
His name is not John Lennon. He said, go up or shut up in you. Shut up in your face. Shut up in your face. I said, no, what's wrong with you? Shut up your mouth.
Hold on, sing.
Please be quiet was my original.
Give him a little reverb. I want to hear the original way. So we give
What is the matter with you? You're always talking so loud. Can't you act like a normal human being? So please, would you be quiet?
It doesn't have the same zing to it. I gotta give it to him.
Shut up. It's clear that was you made the right choice by switching it. Listen, I think maybe I'm laughing. I want to hear you. There was one more version that you told me.
Oh,
I threw all the work your way.
Oh,
the other way that you were going to do it. Look, do you mind doing it the one
don't
way?
Don't ask me. What are you looking at me for? I have no information about her. I think that she went to sleep. Your daughter, she goes to sleep.
I think it's the other way. Play the new way again. What they finally did. I wish we could just get the shut up your face part.
I can't. I don't understand. Why are you acting this way? If it was up to me, my opinion would be, hey, don't talk so much.
If it was up to me.
It seems like they changed, Andy.
Don't talk so much.
Are you talking too much? You're talking too much. Oh, are you kidding me?
Seriously?
No, not really. No. I play
good. It's up to me. If it was up to me.
I thought you played the drums.
No, I don't.
Oh.
I do that, motherfucker.
I can play. I couldn't actually play them, but let's not embarrass everybody.
Oh, we can do it when we are.
Right. Yeah.
Andy, can I ask
I really
you?
Can't play them. I really can't play them, but I thought to myself, I played them once.
Can I ask you a question about Letterman?
Sure.
Have you and... you know, amazing. Every time on it, hilarious,
oh,
right? Huge
I'll,
fan.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
Have you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Who have I turned into?
Have you had any communication with him, like outside what we see on TV? Does he call you, go over bits? I don't know.
No.
I'm just like so.
He does not. He does not. Does not call me. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't expect him to call me. But
before the show,
I am
after
on the show.
I
am on the show doing the repeating things because he wanted me to do them.
Right.
So that's
right.
like. That's fantastic. And then I talk to him when the show and the videos.
Uh-huh.
We'll have a little talk sometimes, and that's always fun, you know. But I mean, I'm nervous around. He's
what
like,
what is
my,
that?
Well,
like,
well, like
what do you talk about? Like, when the show and the video, like, what, anything?
Yeah, I'm just as interested. I'm not going to throw him under the bus.
he might ask me about, you know, like he might say, what's that guy do? You know, what was he like? Or something about someone on the set there or something. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Something like that. Just, it's really small talk, but it always makes me laugh, whatever he says. But no, you know, the thing is, he really, I think, is kind of old school in the sense of he's not like Jay Leno who has to go into the room and, hey, I'll see you soon on the show. And, but I think it's like totally normal that you don't, that he does it all out there, you know?
Right.
I think makes sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's the same as that's why probably he has an immense respect for Regis, because it seems like they had an
they
admiration
have so much
for each
love
other.
For each other. And Regis said that like Letterman was the best talk show host of all time.
You know what?
And he loved Johnny too.
I feel the way Daniel does, and it's always, I always say it's weird if a guest comes in and you just compliment them, even though it feels good, they don't know how to react. But so I always say that first, and then I go, well, look the other way if it makes you uncomfortable. But it is nice to see like someone that when I first saw you on there and you see Letterman laughing, you're like, fuck, that feels good.
So
to watch a friend that you know,
it is the greatest feel. I mean,
yeah, we're talking about you, but you've seen other people where it happens, so you know what we're talking
it's
about.
So it is, and the thing is, when I see on people on David Letterman, like Bill Murray, when he comes on there, and Bill Murray's like he'll challenge Dave and stuff, I think you have your place in a way. I mean, not to make it like so old school, like you have your place, but I feel like I need to have a relationship of respect. I mean, I can't be so respectful that I don't say anything. But
right, that you're comedically
like,
weak.
Never be like as comfortable as I see like Bill Murray on that show or Steve
Rickles.
Martin, but I or Don Rickles, exactly, because I don't feel like I've earned that in a way. So there's, but not even that. If I felt like I earned, like I go on there and be jumping up and down. It's like.
Hold on, let me just interrupt real quick. There's a natural progression of friendship, even outside of the business.
Right.
So it's not even a show business thing, totally. It's almost like when you're outside of a friendship, when you know someone at a certain level, you can say certain things. And if you say it before you know that person at that level, it's not funny.
Right, exactly. And
it's not you're being a pussy. You're just being, you're having good comedic decisions.
And sometimes on the show, I know, okay, I'm loose and I've said something in the moment. And then there's other times where I'm, I can tell I'm nervous and stuff like that. So I try to give myself a break in that. I would like it to be that I'm always like loose and flowing, but I think it's natural.
Do you ever tell Dave like if like you're double guessing something or you're thinking something to go wrong, like, and you in the break or while you're watching a video, you ever just go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, or
you know,
like sometimes you'll seek reassurance.
A couple of times
another.
I felt like I was like once I came out, I felt like I was just so revved up that I just started talking without really being a guest. And so at the end of it, I said, oh, I'm sorry about that. And he goes, no, you're fine. So it was like, but the thing is, yeah. I work on the pieces. There's a writer, Jeremy Weiner, who's one of the writers and like is like a really good, you know, we've become really good friends. And we'll work on the stuff together before the piece. And, you know, when we're filming these things and then the writers will write stuff and then it's just it's like the greatest atmosphere ever.
There's not that many things on television that give me as much joy. There are some other shows, but not that many. That from the second I watch that show.
I know. It's like
there is
going
not
home.
Yeah. And that sounds a little bit cliche or whatever. Or maybe we didn't know what older people meant when Johnny left, because Johnny was great, but I didn't have that feeling. It just was, you know, not my generation. Maybe I didn't.
I think it wasn't our generation. But even though I love John, I love
me
the Tonight
Show. Me too. But I didn't have it like where I know that's such comfort television. And by the way, I think Letterman is funny. So I've heard once in a while, even a fan go, he's getting a little grumpy, and I fucking love it.
And he's always been grumpy.
He's always been grumpy. And this show to me is as. It is unfucking believable still. Every second of that show, especially now that it's more him a lot, you know, they have a less of a guest. I don't know when they started having one less guest. It was years ago, but there's just more him to talk up front like Regis
right.
does.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's just entertaining.
And that desk piece, anytime that he does a desk piece thing where he's just going to, you know, talk about whatever's
paper
happening
cut
in his day, it's just, it's incredible. And the thing is, I'm fascinated by the Fallon thing, because to me, the Fallon thing is like my wife Susan always says, like, that show is aimed at 12-year-olds, the Fallon show. Because whenever I go, what's going on? Goes, it's like there's always there's exploding things, and now we're going to go to the audience. But there's so much invested in, are we all having a great time? Right?
As opposed
this
to.
This is the greatest, right? It's like, I think someone like Letterman comes along once every, never, you know, once every generation. And
I
think
agree.
For our life right now, he is the guy.
You know why he must be able to do that, man? It's probably man it, for lack of, I didn't
hey,
mean
man.
To say man. It teaches me, because you can always evolve. You know, my evolving doesn't have to end. you know, that to that he I get to reap the benefits of him being so great because he's not so fucking worried about the audience all the time. So he can connect with people at home, not worried if the studio that may be that night. He'll still be who he is. And then if he cared more, I wouldn't get the fucking great show I get every night. He cares. It's not that he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the wrong group.
The thing about that, that's right. But also, like, you know, when I come see you and I enjoy, you know, I love what, when we love what comics do, it's, I mostly like people who are themselves. I mean, that doesn't exclude things like Pee Wee Herman and great characters, but the thing that's great about Letterman is that he is himself. So people go, oh, he was grumpy, whatever. That's what's so great about it, you know? To me, people like Leno and Fallon, they're so invested in performing and having a good time and appearing upbeat. And I think that only goes so far, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought about it that way, but yeah, you're totally right.
And with someone like Leno, who, you know, turns around and stabbed everybody in the back, you know, then it's like not only are you buying this fake friendly shtick, but it's actually covering up something that's not friendly. It's not even like Arthur Godfrey, you know, the famous Arthur Godfrey story. He was like the guy with the ukulele, and he had this singer named Julius Boris, and he kind of fired him on the air. So Julius, I never saw the original thing. I was like, oh, well, Julius is, he found a better gig or something like that. And all of a sudden, everybody then saw what Arthur Godfrey was like, and his whole perception of this nice guy changed. And apparently he wasn't that nice a guy. And that's that movie Face in the Crowd was based on, I think, Arthur Godfrey. So some people have so much invested in being nice, but it's like somebody's just completely fake.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's yeah. It is. You think it would be so much easier, and your life would be so much better if you can be where you're at,
right?
You know. I mean, I don't know. I in my act, yeah, yeah. That's true. Like if something happened, very rarely, but I've had some things where you get into an argument before you have to go on or something. I'm more aggressive in my material, and maybe, you know, I'm more, you know, you just sort of be where you're at, so it works.
Well, yeah. And of course, every night is different. I mean, I always feel when I feel come off stage and I go, wow, that was. I've nailed it now. I'll never forget how to do it again. And then that's always the kiss of death.
Right.
2 days later, sweating.
Do you watch yourself when you do the show? Do you go back to the hotel?
I always watch. I have to watch it. And I don't feel good
by yourself,
until I've seen
or it. Can you do it with
other
people?
Well, if I'm with my wife, I'll watch it. Otherwise, I'll invite, like, the staff. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to go
to the room. Yeah. Invite the staff.
Dave will come over.
Yeah, Dave always comes by. That's the weird part.
Oh,
he
so
does come by the room.
To go over your notes?
Because he likes the in-room, in-suite nuts and the bar. He enjoys gummy bears.
Oh.
Who would have thought that'd be true?
You should watch it. I'm going to criticize me and Daniel because you just said you watch your shows. When I was getting ready to do my hours.
No, I meant on Letterman.
No,
I'm just on Letterman.
But he watches his set.
I'm going to listen back to this show.
No, you don't.
In bed.
You listen back to. Don't you listen back to most of your shows?
Yes.
Right. So when I was getting ready for my hour, Daniel was helping me. We went to Atlanta, and every single morning.
Laughing Skull.
Laughing Skull. Great club. We would meet, and we would go over the set. And I remember at the end of the week, 2 weeks, then we did one at the Comedy Bar, one in Laughing Skull. And it was helpful. We'd had cue cards all over the wall. We were dropping things, putting things up. Or that's a little obsessive, but even not obsessive, but for the special it was. But for you, just listening, taking notes. And here's the promise we made each other. I go, let's promise each other. We're not going to do that every night. Just we won't. But once a week that we should be proud of ourselves. Like, so when we go to another club, maybe we don't do it any nights, but one night we commit to doing this. We went to Dallas. We said we were going to do it. We didn't fucking do it.
Do what? Do what?
I did it.
What is it that
you can't do it without me. You don't have my eye, and I don't have your eye. That's the whole thing. Yeah, it's different. It's different.
What did you commit to doing?
That we would go back and watch each other set and say, hey, get rid of that. You're honest with each other. I think it's helpful sometimes. Now, I know you don't do it with another person. I get that. But you at least watch it.
Have you thought about doing it by yourself?
I like how you're trying to.
I'm trying to not to get thrown under the bus with you.
Don't throw him under the bus.
You saw me recording myself, and you even said
we were supposed to get together and watch it. You don't think
I bailed on you? Maybe yes.
True. You don't need my input?
Of course I do.
Well, then you bailed on yourself. We'll take a break.
We'll
be right back right after this. That's the way I fucking
drive.
That's
the way you roll.
Get the fuck.
You roll it.
Roll to commercial.
Yeah, that damn good.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It lightens the mood.
The sound of it is something quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
All right, what we do?
No one's at the board.
Yeah, no. Well, Katie's
the board's automatic.
Katie's at the board, and then Chris does the soundboard.
sensitive. So you fade, Kay, did you fade that out?
Yes.
Yes. Mm. She's good, isn't
Are you
she?
Using a Roland fader?
Oh, you're
or
really?
A Boss Dr. Rhythm Chorus?
You know all the fades.
I know all the pedals from 1979. So are you using an MXR distortion pedal or are you using a flanger? What?
Hello, Andy.
Wow.
This is your mother
what
calling.
What am I, the future? Is this 3D audio?
We have a caller. We take calls.
Oh, okay. Who's there?
Hello, Andy.
Hi.
This is your third grade teacher. I had one of those operations, and I just wanted to call in and say you were so funny back then. I knew before anybody knew. When we see you on TV, we're always like, oh, my God, this kid was funny. I knew it when he was in high school.
Thank you, Mrs. Public Domain.
Your sense of show that's so afraid to pay one royalty.
Yeah, I'm about to say one's name.
Thank you, Mr. Public Domain.
What's the name of the song you'd like to play? Public Domain. Public
Hello,
Domain.
Hello, Public Domain.
Hello, I'm Public Domain.
I'm Public Domain.
It's going to rain in the Public Domain.
We have some calories. Oh, what time is it now?
We're at like an... We're at another hour, a little over an hour.
Oh, but you know what? Time flies when you're constantly monitoring your watch.
How dare you? That's the way I react.
I have another podcast at 9.
Do you really?
No.
Oh. Well,
I have guess. After the callback, I just go in the studio. I do some promos for a show I don't have.
Really?
Yeah. You're watching Andy Kindler. Hi, Trenton, New Jersey. You're watching Andy Kindler. Hello, Cleveland. Andy Kindler.
You're listening to the Andy Kindler Show.
I don't like that one.
I like that it's such a terrible effect.
You're listening to the Andy Kindler Show.
Only by Bravo.
By Bravo. You're listening to the Andy Kindler Show.
Camping with Andy.
You're listening to Camping with Andy.
After Kathy Griffin on
After
the D
Kathy
list.
Kathy Griffin on the D list.
Okay. I bet
only
I can,
by Bravo.
Only by Bravo.
Only by Bravo.
See how poor I can repeat
that's how,
what you
I
say.
Don't get voiceovers, but that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Only by Bravo.
Talking to Bravo.
You're listening to the Tom Likas Show.
1-800-5800-TOM. After the next break, why you should push your girlfriend from a moving car. Why you should take your girlfriend and push her from a moving car. 1-800-5800-TOM.
Hello, Tom?
Yeah.
My girlfriend put me
Kick
through.
Kick your girlfriend in the head, causing a coma. That's right. Kick her in the head.
That's him in his extreme.
First have sex, kick her in the head.
Tom, my girlfriend is in a coma, and I was wondering.
Leave your girlfriend. Am I right?
Well, she needs the love. The doctor.
1-800-5800-TOM.
Hello, Tom.
Yes.
Can you take me out with a Jew getting hit in the head with a rock?
Do you really care?
Really?
It's the morning zoo sometimes.
I like that morning zoo one. Bow, wow.
I love those. We
hey,
do
guys,
it.
Guys, I thought of a
hey,
clothing
tell me about
store.
Some, hold on one second.
Okay.
Hold on.
A pun for a clothing store that's...
What's it called?
American Apparelized.
Right. Why not?
Yeah. That one.
Right. Well, it fits, so why does it matter if it makes sense? That's as bad as Auschwitz clothing.
What was
whatever.
That?
That's as bad
hour,
as American.
Hour ago, I brought that back.
It's as bad as American Apparel.
I don't care. You can
apparel.
Bring it back 2 hours
Thank
from
you.
Now.
It's as bad as American Apparel. Right? Right? That's how I do my political stuff.
All right, that's how we're ending.
Do you really... Wait,
right?
Oh, do you admit...
Andy, do you really not like American Apparel?
Oh, no, I love it. I endorse it.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, what do you
do
think...
You really?
Do you ever
just
heard
the sleeveless
of...
Things.
We need a silent... We have to
Please.
This. What do you think of Audible.com? They're good, right?
You know, when I want to have things Audible, and I need it to be in website form, I go to Audible.com.
There, that's...
For all of my Audible needs. Why am I doing a promo... When I don't get, am I getting a free thing?
Shut the fuck up. Isolate that.
Download? Free download? Go to audible.com, put in the keyword, Todd's my guy.
What do they win? Say
and they get a free, you pay for a download and get another download for the exact same price.
Well, that doesn't seem like a good price.
Still put in the Todd thing.
Yeah, it helps me. I get a dollar. Andy, when I say wrap it up, I know it takes a while. I did an hour before you got here, but I'm going to chop that down to a half an hour.
One time Todd said to me, or remember we were talking about lights? Like, when would you like to get a light?
Yeah.
And I said, I'll take like a, you know, a 2 minute light. I could get off. And Todd's like, oh, no. I'm like a locomotive. Like, I need to start shutting down brakes. Yeah. I need like a 20 minute light just to start slowing down.
I do need a 15 minute to just get me to where I got to be to just be happy before I get off the stage. Because here's the problem. I could be doing very well. When you have a really great crowd and you could just go, geez, I did a half an hour and really didn't hit my act that much just because it's an unbelievable audience. For some reason, I need to feel to squeeze it in. So what I do is I get the light, then I rip through 40 minutes of material instead of just letting the fun.
Oh, man, that sounds like the rhythm of it is.
Yeah, I don't always do that. I don't always do that.
You bring it home is what
you're saying. We're editing this out, so whatever you want
to
say.
No, leave this in because this shows the vulnerable side.
No.
Everybody knows the Dane Cook, I'm going to kick your ass crowd side, but they don't know this side, the weeping clown after the show. Who squeezes in 40 minutes of material in an incomprehensible last 10 minutes. You ever know once when you get out of the shower that you have no shoes? Have you ever seen Bad at the Beach? Why they call it the beach? Why they call it the freeway? You have to pay. And time is going to get. And then why is it not going to be? And the Republican National Convention? I don't think so. Good night.
I think you're right, Andy.
Good night.
This guy, that's why he makes money.
Good night. This is the head waitress.
Andy, I think you're right. People want to see another side of me.
They do.
Can I tell you the truth?
Yeah.
I have a videotape of me putting my dog to sleep 3 years ago. You think that would make people like me more? He was only 7, and he was fine. I couldn't take the vet bills. No.
You know why? I had a great deal on a rental on the camera.
Yeah, he was fine.
No, we said, what would happen? Obviously, I would never do this, but if you brought a dog to the vet and he's 6, and you go, listen, it's time. He has to be put to sleep. And they're like, oh, he seems pretty. I would imagine most vets would say, he seems pretty spry. And then you're like, oh, you don't know what he used to be like. He'd say, I can't even look at it. It just saddens me. And the dog jumps up on the table. He gives his paw. He goes, no, he used to. What happens is the vet eventually is like, I tell you the truth. A vet with good conscience would go, I can't in good conscience put this dog to sleep. What did he used to be like? And they finally go, he used to talk. All right, he used to talk. Now he just sits there. I know you don't believe me. You think I'm nuts. That fucking dog talked.
Todd Glass, brought to you by PETA.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Do you believe it's right to declaw your cats? I like to throw weird questions out there.
Yeah,
this has been my interview style. Declawing cats. Swear to God, what's your honest opinion?
I am was for it when I had a cat, but now I'm against it.
I think you're being honest.
Yeah, I don't think I don't. I am not happy with it. I still wake up late at night and I hear my cat Opsy saying, "I had no claws," which was a. I thought
she's
that
Jewish?
Was pretty good. Yes.
Wendy,
thank you.
Where
thank
are my
you.
Claws?
And the cat's in the corner going, thank you.
Thank
remember that
you.
Bit. Remember that bit.
Hello.
The cat's in the corner going, yeah, I wish I could scratch your eyes out. Why is the cat gay? Why does the cat have to be gay?
It's funnier.
And the dog's going, duh.
Bob, I like sausage sauce.
I have never seen dogs do this, cats do this bit I didn't love. From anybody.
Oh, because
anybody.
It works. Because men are like this.
There's the voices.
Men are from a certain planet, women are from a different area.
But Andy, I think the reason the cats thing I agree with you is because I'm being serious, actually. I think you go to defend things sometimes because you did them. I think my parents declawed cats. How bad could it be?
Yeah.
No, that's not. You don't just defend it because
my parents declawed, and there wasn't even their cat.
Yeah, they
hello. Hello.
My parents
you come
did
home
that
and the
bit.
Neighbor lady's staring at you. Neighbor lady.
Generic neighbor lady. So
I'm sorry, I declawed your cat. I don't have a cat.
Well,
oh, I'm sorry.
Bobby!
I'm sorry, your daughter is very feline looking. Sell that to Fuse.
Do you have any ideas
Andy's
for shows?
Andy's nearsighted mom.
What's a song?
Declaws the neighbor's daughter. In a new episode of Andy's World.
What's a song on your iPod that would be embarrassing? But I guess if it's that embarrassing, you're not going to admit it to us. But just a song on your iPod that really is
probably My Eyes Adored You.
Is that?
I don't even think it's a name.
You don't have any songs like that.
I have.
Want to know what Daniel's is?
What's that?
Share. Do you believe in love?
That's terrible. Did you download it? In 99 cent.
All right. What else can I throw at you real quick? Do you have a dog?
I don't have a dog.
Do you have a cat?
I don't. I used to have cats.
What was the last concert you went to?
I went to see Nick Lowe at the Largo at the Carnet.
I love Nick Lowe.
It was fantastic.
What do you think of the Jewish people fighting each other? That can't help their cause, right?
I am a pro the non-extremist Jewish people.
Okay? What does that mean?
Like the people who didn't kill Rabin, those people.
People that didn't throw stones at the little girls.
I'm not a big Bebe Netanyahu fan. Not my style. This is the guy who's an annoying arguer. Bebe Netanyahu? He should be Bebe Netanyahu.
Oh, God.
Andy, I was observing you in conversation. You seem to be talking loud. All I want to say, keep it down a little.
I know I observed your conversation. I noticed you're a little loud. Let me tell you this. Keep it down a little.
Don't talk so much.
I notice you're having fun. You're not hurting anybody. You're just hanging out with your friends. Could you just stay a little away from my yard?
I can't. You're talking so much. I can't hear my own thoughts. Would it kill you if I got an award in Edgewise? Hey, call me when you're going to take a break for the speaking.
I know you're just having fun. You're playing your radio loud. I'm trying to sleep, and I don't want to ruin your fun. If it's not too much, could you just turn it down a little?
That's hey, pretty good.
If it wouldn't kill you, I have a little request. Hey, take it down a notch.
I know you're having fun.
Dial it back a bit.
Dial it. That's a good one. Do it right. You got to commit all the way through. It's funny when you really sell it.
Look, I don't want to get in your way. You seem like a nice person. I certainly don't want your feelings to be hurt. Hey, dial it back a little.
Now that didn't make a hit.
Hey,
who said
put
shut
a
up?
Lid on it.
Who said shut up your face? Who was the one that said that? Shut up your
when
face.
When you guys were writing the song,
I wrote that song. That was my first novelty.
I know. That's
hit.
Why we started this whole conversation.
Before I did my ding-a-ling.
People have not.
You
some,
wrote
we have
my
to
ding-a-ling.
Wrap it up. Can you do a My Ding-a-ling by Andy
My Ding-a-ling is one of the best songs of all time. A lot of people like the early Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
But My Ding-a-ling is where he really put it all together.
Does Jerry Lee Lewis still tour? That's what I heard.
Jerry Lee Lewis will sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and just in the middle of the air do one of those bring the piano board. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He doesn't even know. And then boom, back out like a light.
So when he's doing dishes, I heard
and
he does that too.
Out. Bling,
bling. Boom.
Sometimes back.
He's that out of it. What was that piano song that you had earlier?
Is that true? Did you know that? You can go see him live still.
Jerry Lee Lewis?
Yeah.
I bet he's good, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Just for the novelty of it.
Yeah, but that's not a good reason.
He wakes up in the middle of the night like this.
Novelty.
He just wakes up and does this.
And he's back out.
All right. So we got to wrap it up.
Wow.
Oh, you wrote My Ding-a-ling?
I wrote My Ding-a-ling.
Now, let me
yeah.
ask you a question.
It was a little bit edgy. People didn't get it. It was too subtle.
When you wrote that song, by the way, was that a fun
First one? Of all, I want to just clear up the rumors. My Ding-a-ling referred to my penis.
Well,
it did not refer to the Vietnam War.
That people don't know what it. Go play the song for because our listeners, you know,
it's a
they
great
don't know.
Song. I hope people get it.
Should we go out of commercial on this? Should we just ride out on this?
I want to
come back. We'll talk about it.
Okay,
and then we'll say goodbye to Andy Kindler. We had a fun night tonight.
He gives us one more to do. In that case, we got to.
Oh, it's coming. They know it's coming.
We
That's what makes it so funny.
Alma mater. We must do our
You sound
alma mater.
Different then.
What?
When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy.
Are you performing, isn't it?
Silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling-o.
Oh.
Ding-a-ling.
Yeah.
Ding-a-ling.
All right. Live jazz clubs. I play that. Live jazz clubs.
This was jazzy. Pause us for a second.
Very jazz. Pause us. Bebop.
So I didn't.
It was
even
the end of bebop.
So when you wrote this song, this was in. Like, you don't think of it in hindsight. This is a jazz song.
Nobody got it. That was the thing.
Play it out. I really do think.
Entendre.
Beautiful. And then Mama took me to grammar school, but I stopped off in the vestibule.
Yeah.
We
Nothing
get it.
More hilarious than a 5-year-old's erection. Bell would ring. He's playing with his ding-a-ling at age 5, folks. Everybody.
Oh, that is beautiful.
beautiful. That is beautiful, Chuck says,
you know,
as the money
heard,
rolls
heard,
in. I mean,
I heard two girls over here singing in harmony. That's all right, honey. This yeah. is a
I'm going to pee in your
live
face
like
later.
You live,
oh,
man.
No, I'll pee in your face.
Ain't nobody going to.
There's no reason to.
Mm-mm.
That's what he did.
Yeah, freedom.
Chuck Berry?
Yes,
no, no,
sir.
Let's not
one
make
guy the right over here singing mine.
No one heard
too.
That.
That's all right, brother.
The guy said mine.
Yes,
one guy over there.
You got it right, baby.
Mine.
Bother you.
Everyone else was singing ding-a-ling, but he goes, that guy's going mine.
Once I was climbing the garden wall, I slipped and had a terrible fall.
What's that?
I fell so hard I heard bells.
Where's he
going
to go at the end?
But held on to my ding-a-ling.
Yeah, he busted his head.
Ding-a-ling!
Busted his head.
Ding-a-ling!
Busted his head on the wall. But held on
ding-a-ling!
To his ding-a-ling.
Future Parliament out there singing.
Alrighty.
Oh, that is good. That's the future of Parliament? That was in London?
We're going to come out of the commercial.
They couldn't
next
enjoy week. That in the States. I'm going to bring it over to London.
Did they love it over there?
But they used to call it My Swim a Limb.
Oh, that's the original
My Jimmy
version?
John. My Jimmy Jim Jim. My Jimmy Jum Jam.
Do we have that over? I think we have
My Lift. They used to call it My Lift in television.
When I was
a little lad, I used to say, what's in my pants? Then one day, unfortunately, my mother said to me, in your pants is a little wee-wee. Oh, my wee-wee.
It's not as catchy. I can see how you
my wee-wee.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's falling in love with my wee-wee.
Wee-wee.
My wee-wee.
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 Yeah, the first part. Andy, I feel like I learned so much about you tonight. First of all, I had no idea you wrote my ding-a-ling. People listening right now, do you still get royalties to that?
No, because of the Mann Act.
Andy, I remember once you saying in your act, I don't know if you do it all the time,
myself
the
up.
Difference between you getting a royalty check, like, you know, when you said Ray Romano.
Young comedian.
Ray Romano isn't going, excuse me.
Yeah. That joke got no, I did the joke on Letterman, got no laugh because people think if you're on TV, you can't possibly not have a lot of money. They had no idea what I said, yeah, I didn't, that they replayed the Young Comedian special, but I didn't get a residual, and I'm on the phone with the union asking about my residuals. I don't see Janine Garofalo calling up AFTRA to ask about her $200 residual. And it was silent, much like it is in this room.
No, I was listening. You don't see Ray Romano.
Yeah, I don't see Ray Romano
in
calling
line.
Up in line. What did they say?
It's something like, I would owe me like $4.30.
I'm here for my $5.
But you were. That's the point of this
because
story.
Because of my wee-wee.
Wee-wee. Andy Kindler, it
this was fun.
Do you have any dates you want to plug? Comedy Bar in Toronto at the end of the month?
Yes. And
do you close with the My Ding-a-ling song?
I do.
Well, you
do.
Do it, so you're not
well,
afraid.
Well, I cut a deal with the estate.
The Ding-a-lings.
Before I let you go, and we are going to say goodbye, thank you, Rob, for stopping by. Sensitive, always pleasure. And Katie, thank you. We had so much we didn't get to today. Chris behind me, Chris Burden, right?
Yeah.
And we're going
to there's no better way to credit the people that you work with by saying, right, after you say their name.
It's, he knows.
Right?
That
right?
There's a great Elvis.
And I couldn't do it without my crew, right? Who are you? Right?
I could not do it without my crew. How about I put some reverb in here? I'm in a band. I'm on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been marvelous to perform for you fine people here tonight. And I just want to say there's a band behind me, and I couldn't do what I'd do without them. My drummer has been with me for over 15 years, and if you give him a nice round of applause, I'd certainly appreciate it. His name is John Bogelstein. Is that right, John? John Bogelstein?
Is that right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, John Bogelstein. Also, I want to thank my head drummer over there. His name
head
is...
Head drummer? How many drummers do you have?
I got 16 drummers. I got a no horn section, but a drum section. I do the old school. You notice that, Andy?
You got like a Lenny Bruce sound to your voice.
I do.
You know,
Oh, my God. Shut the fuck up.
Elvis.
Turn off everybody's mic.
Nothing else. Not the social importance of him.
Oh.
Not the effect. Not the ability to...
Lenny Bruce?
No, not the ability to affect society. Just the one thing.
Let me see.
This is Lenny Bruce.
I get horrible right away.
What is that? Now hear this. Now hear this.
This is the President of the United States of America.
Now hear this. This is Lenny Bruce. Now hear this.
This is Lenny Bruce. Fuck that shit.
All right. Okay.
Was that Bill Cosby doing a Lenny Bruce?
Hey, Lenny Bruce. Oh,
give me a little blue. Let me go blue Bill Cosby. Dirty Bill Cosby.
Motherfucker.
Hey.
Fuck that pussy, man.
Now, I don't know who that was.
What album was that Bill Cosby album where he said that?
Chocolate cake. I like pussy. Jello pussy. Pussy favorite jello.
If you were higher, I could kill you
right now. Pussy favorite jello. Jello pudding. Ho, ho, hey, hey. Ho, 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 jello pudding. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Pussy, hey, hey. Don't eat the cake.
All right.
This is the, that is the, this.
How much you think
greatest,
this thing...
I don't care if anybody ever hears this outside the studio. That was the greatest 20 seconds of my life.
Katie got me this piece of equipment. It's great. And we have a running...
You mean the $4 echo chamber device?
Really, Andy? Yeah? Everything's got to be
that's
a
on
dig.
Sale at 7-Eleven with a big gulp.
You know, maybe you come in, you make a dig at Jay Leno and all the people you make fun of. You don't take a shot at me.
Here's Todd at the meeting for your show. Yeah, I think some more of those bits could use reverb.
That's all I have.
Yeah. Anything else? I don't know. I just would like to see. I could look. You could talk me into some other kind of digital delay, but I think the reverb is the way to go.
David Letterman's on the line.
Really?
He is. Now, can we patch his call in?
No, we can't. He's on the line, but there's no way.
You fixed the phone, Katie, right? It doesn't still have that effect on it, does it?
Yeah. No, I fixed it.
Oh. There's no way it's going to sound.
David, are you there?
There's no way it's going to sound.
Hi, this is David Letterman. How are you?
Hi, Dave. I'm so flattered that you called.
Hold on a second. David, hold on 1 second. Katie, that is mortifying. So what happens is now we'll take his call. It really is him. But
right.
There's an effect on it which makes
it makes it so you can't identify
him. Go ahead,
him.
Dave. Good to hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first of all, I love the show, and Andy is a great part of our show. You know, this is what we look for, guys like Andy, and I know... You know, it's not often I throw out compliments like this, but Andy's without Andy, my show would be shit.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you for
that was nice.
Thank you for going blue.
Pussy. Hey, Jello pudding, ho, ho, ho. Baby Bill got me.
That's a guy. This is sad, but it could be funny. The guy that had the defibrillator thing, he had to get it, but he still liked to do his impersonations. Oh no, he got this thing.
You know what makes you talk like this?
What is that for your
a voice box?
A voice box, which is not a funny joke, but in this context, it might be because we're not making fun of the voice box. I'm making fun of this guy, his family, because you can't go on stage and do comedy, but he likes to do impersonations. So he goes,
"I'd like to do Bill Cosby. Hey, Jello pudding, ho, ho, hey, Jello pudding."
Why does he like to go on stage? Why does he have to go on stage?
Seriously?
Yeah.
If you owned a comedy club and that guy wanted to perform.
But why is he so compelled? Because it just is, right?
He was performing.
Maybe he was a comedian before that, it would kill.
That's right.
He used to do karaoke.
All right, but he's not trying to add to the jokes, right?
He used to do karaoke. No, this guy used to do karaoke. He would go sing like...
What would he do?
He would go to karaoke bars and he would sing karaoke.
Yeah.
And then they don't let him in there
to
anymore.
Public domain?
He would do public domain karaoke songs. So he would go into the karaoke bar, and yeah, we'll do that later. All right.
There's not going to be there's no later on this show.
Well, we're done.
It goes on.
I'm going
out.
Over.
It goes through a small phone line into a USB device. We slightly speed it up.
Do you remember me and you worked together on the Fox show? And
yeah, I told Fox.
Andy got hired with me to be a writer on a show, or write an idea for a show, but I didn't know how to use a computer at all.
Comedy lab.
So we would get, and I told Andy before I took the job, I said, Andy, I don't know how to use a computer, you know, and they're going to put us in front of computers. He goes, don't worry, we'll work together, and then I'll just submit it. And he was very nice. And he had to go in on audition one day, and he left me, and they kept walking by the room. All I knew Andy taught me how to do on the computer was pull the information up and pull it back down, and that's all I did for an hour and a half and 2 hours. I was so nervous that they'd walk by, I'd be like, click, 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 like acting like I was looking for something that I just wrote,
but
did nothing.
Did you give a convincing, were you convincingly looking like you were doing something?
If this was a show where people could see what I was doing, I'll do it. So I'll do it for you, but we could take a picture. Here's how committed I was, just to really making it look real. I'm not going to exaggerate it. Here's how much I did it. You ready?
Back on radio, this is what we had to do.
And then if no one was around, I wouldn't do anything. Yeah, this guy goes into karaoke bars with all his friends. They're all like, don't go in there.
Shut the fuck up, you guys. I want to sing karaoke.
at the bar. Like, okay, this next guy. Are they going to say you can't go up, sir? Finally, they did. He would go up.
He'd be like, all right, I'm going to sing my way, motherfuckers. I'll say it clear.
That's all. The bit's over.
Why
all
do you bail so much? What are you in a fire volunteer fire department and you're bailing?
Can I tell you what? You're going to be a guest on the show more now because you did what I need. Would, someone to talk me.
Would Red Skelton have done horrible material if he had stopped? Would he have done the worst impressions that nobody wanted to see shoved down America's throat if he gave up like you just did?
You red buttons.
Not red buttons. He never got a dinner. That was a different situation.
Oh, he's funny.
He's funny.
Well, who's the guy that went,
yeah, Red Skelton.
Yeah, you know what?
And God bless.
You know what he told me? That someone
red
told
Skelton
me he told him.
You?
No, he told somebody. He told Bob Nelson this. Bob, you know
red
Bob
Skelton
Nelson.
Red Skelton did this?
Yeah, and he goes, it was something to the effect, I'm close enough, which is why it made me think, yeah, because it always drives me crazy. There's funny everything. Some people are blue. Some people happen to be clean. But you don't get extra merit for being clean. You know, it's like,
right.
You know, that's my theory. You get merit for being funny. It's hard to be fucking hilarious, whether you're squeaky clean, whether you're very
wrong. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. It's just hard to be fucking funny. You don't get extra merits. Because if you do give someone extra merits for being clean, then you're saying, well, yeah, they're funny, but it's a little harder to be. You got to admit, George Carlin, as much as I love him, he took the easy way. That's what you're sort of saying, you know, indirectly.
Right.
So anyway, he said something like, yeah, well, when you curse, it's like shit. It's like something like you're shitting all over your art. Shut. And that makes me want to go, I want to respect what you do. I really do, because there's all, I can respect something pantomime if a guy was true. But when he says that, shut the fuck up, you old fuck. You're saying things that old people should say that aren't in the business, not what a creative person is supposed to say to. So I know he's dead now. It doesn't matter.
Finally, someone takes him down. That's what I like about it.
It does.
He's going to finally, Red Skelton is finally getting his comeuppance. When there's four people in the country who remember his name. And one of them is angry about it.
Well, people can go YouTube him.
They can YouTube him. What's Todd I'm saying? This guy, this is humor.
But you know what? People don't even have to know who he is. They know it's an entertainer that was around a long time ago, and he was like, it's better to be clean. Shut up.
Exactly.
And there's people, you don't think there's someone like that today that someone is dealing with?
It's not even mime. It's pantomime.
Yes.
It's worse than mime.
Thank you. We'll take a break. We're not
pantomime.
We're done.
Do mime or do pants, but don't do pantomime.
Thank you. We'll ride out on that. Andy, last words.
Look, I've had a really good time today. I enjoyed spending time with you. But next time, maybe you shouldn't talk so much.
Okay, play the song, the real song, as we leave. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.